people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Today, June 17th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. I've got a great show for you today. I'm going to try to make it not a long show, do my best, a lot to get in here, but I'm trying to work on that in general. Just for all those naysayers out there that want this to be less than 4 hours, trust me, I'm with you. But I know a lot of you out there love the long ones, but I'm going to try to make this somewhere in the middle for everybody. But the very important stuff to talk about. And as every day since, I don't know, in the last so many weeks, at the very least, we have seen one after another. I said the same thing last show. One after another, we are continuing to see these things topple and seemingly with no effect on the mainstream media narrative, which isn't really surprising when you understand what they're really supposed to do. But it's never been this obvious. It is very ham-fisted, clumsy, and falling apart in front of us. And I just think this is beginning to draw, it's beginning to make people who have never thought about this stuff before, they're beginning to draw conclusions about other things they weren't supposed to be thinking about. And it's very interesting. But we're going to talk today about a couple of interesting things, really quickly about what's going on in Israel that you should know about, and a couple of other good articles that we just put out. A quick discussion about the FBI discussion on January 6th, but I really mean quick on these things. And then I have something really interestingly, also quick in the beginning, kind of like a one-stop shop, like cheat for people out there of just kind of links that I'm going to provide today. And I'll categorize it like that. Of, in my opinion, I know there's more of them. I tried to think of all the ones I could include that I just want to rattle off real quick that you can like carry with you. Put them on your phone. And these, in my opinion, are some of the most important things that have happened so far regarding the scientific discoveries or, you know, that we have natural immunity that can last the rest of our lives. Like these kind of things in a row that you can rattle off to somebody who's lost. And if they still walk away after you showing them these scientific studies that, you know, coming from the people that they're telling you you're supposed to listen to, well, circle back and try again later because they're not really going to be receptive, but it will help you reach people. We're going to talk about masks and a very big vindicating moment for the Last American Vagabond. Not like we needed it because it's a reason I haven't talked about masks in a while because it's been completely proven. I mean, I'm not talking my opinion based on this and that. I've shown you the scientific evidence. I've shown you the other experts and other mainstream people coming in and going, well, wait a minute, this doesn't work. It's obvious that not only do they not work the way that we've been told they do, up, you know, since COVID forward, before it was normal, just stopping things flying out of your mouth. But it also is very dangerous in a lot of very serious ways that I've gone over. And now I'm going to even more so prove this to you today with one main point that was the linchpin of what my argument was before. And we'll get to that as we go through today. We're going to talk about lockdowns and show you how yet again it's being admitted that, oh, we're still using Imperial College and, oh, we're still using old models that aren't even verifiably correct anymore. But so what? We're still going to keep you in lockdown until sometime next month because we admitted we used the wrong models, but we're staying in this lockdown? Yes, because that's the reality we're living in right now. And I'm also going to show you the vaccine passport that just came out throughout the EU that's timed perfectly with their EU bloc discussion about when this would happen from 4 years ago. It's weird how that works out, as well as a lot of other stuff, including the Veyers discussion, which you'll see the image today, which has been circulating the last couple of days. And this is directly from Open Veyers, but completely confirmable with the actual data. People who've died after taking the injection, and it is through the roof. And what you're looking at on the picture on the main cover today, which I'll get to in the show, is a huge spike from 2020 forward. And huge doesn't even do it justice. Every single year since this thing has been in existence, it's been below a certain level, and now it has shot up, I mean, just by a glance, or we could easily say by 15 times or more, and this is outrageous. Or, I mean, even actually, I would say, no, I'm looking at that incorrectly. Way more than we've been seeing in the past, so I don't leave myself with an incorrect statement. But On top of that, we will talk about the vaccine, emergency use authorization, and a bunch of other things, including some more relevant stuff in regard to the fact that the RNA in these injections, multiple studies are now telling you it can transcribe into your DNA. The exact thing, yet again, added to the list of things they said, that's fake news. And the science, as they would put it, is finding exactly that. Now, let's start with a quick note about Derrick Rose that I wanted to make sure you all saw. It's really frustrating, but of course, it's not surprising. It continues to happen. Derrick was just suspended for a week by Twitter for posting these tweets. It says, this person he's referencing, she's not an anti-vaxxer, whatever that means. She's actually for vaccines, but wants more time for this experimental vax, which is a fact. Did you bother to listen to any of the nurses? Right, and we'll get to this in a minute, but just so right off the bat, make sure we're very clear that the NIH calls this an experimental injection. So it's kind of odd that Twitter would be like, fake news, censor, because you said the truth, which is the reality we know. But the bottom one is saying, yes, people are brainwashed, which is his opinion, and I agree with, but that's an opinion, to think that a virus with a 99.7% survival rate, which, by the way, it's, in my opinion, not my opinion, based on the data that we got from plenty of other things I'll actually point to again in the show, it's higher than that. But even that is the general consensus discussion point, so that's accurate, to say that to think a virus with that rate requires a vaccine to be healthy. Brainwashed indeed. Right. So nothing he said in there was false, except the fact that they take issue with, I'm assuming, that he says people are brainwashed because they feel like needing something that adds risk to their life for a thing that they have 0.3% chance of getting is a good idea. Remember that it's way lower than that when you really look at the full information, especially under 25, 0.01%. We'll go through all this today. He's being censored, as a lot of other people are. Taylor Hudak had a great interview with Willem Engel. From a group in the it's virus, shoot, I just blanked on it all of a sudden, which frustrates me. It's a group that's been running a website and different legal action in the UK and in Europe in general, and basically, or I think specifically Denmark, but continuing to bring legal battles to the right people, to the judges, to the doctors themselves, who are accountable for the actions they're taking, as well as to the government. Really great interview and a really strong message, especially at the end, about, you know, like same thing Corbett's saying, same thing I'm saying, a lot of people, that we're in a battle for our very humanity. And that's not even a secret. This is an open statement. Great interview. I hope you'll check it out. A great article by Derrick coming from Mexican towns that basically are rejecting political processes. I mean, and this is a very strong message for us in this country that recognize that we're in a broken system that flip-flops back and forth between two broken parties. I don't care if you're in a place that's got 14 parties. If they're all co-opted, they flip-flop back and forth between whichever ones they want and continue to do the same things. This is the problem. And here in Mexico, you have dozens of towns that are voting to reject the political parties in general. And stay 100%, and they're pushing these people out and saying, we will manage our own finances, we'll manage our own waste, we'll manage our own city. Stay away. You know why? Because it's obviously corrupt. But you know what? So too is it in this country. And we need to accept that. We need to realize where we really are, not say it's only Trump's side, it's only Biden's side, and realize that it's all the same thing, and people that are saying that are the most lost among us. A great article showing you what's possible outside the known constructs of what we're supposed to be operating in. This one, starting off with the Israel discussion quite quickly here, Naftali Bennett breaks Gaza ceasefire on his third day in office. This was on the 17th, or excuse me, this was written on the 16th. I posted it this morning, but this is before the recent flare-up we'll talk about next. Now, what he's talking about is the fact that there were a couple of balloons, allegedly, by the way. There's never any verification of this stuff other than pictures being sent by groups who have a vested interest in lying about these things and have been proven to lie about these things by the Israeli media, by the way. Anyway, the point is we have a balloon or a couple of balloons or balloons on fire that got sent over. No, we don't know who sent them or why. Could be Mossad, could be ISIS, could be Jordan, could be anybody. I'm just rattling off anything I could think of. The point is, it could be anybody. It could be Mossad, it could be CIA, or it could be Hamas. The point is, nobody cares to look or do any due diligence. They just listen to what Israel says, and then things happen. What happened was, they used that excuse and then indiscriminately bombed Gaza. And this is the reality. This is what collective punishment looks like. And what he's pointing out is here was what is... This has been leading up to this, to all of this, is that here are people chanting death to Arabs, calling for ethnic cleansing openly. You can watch it for yourself. This is reported by plenty of Israeli media as well. And it says, do they call Israeli police? Do they do anything? No, they just basically let this happen. Now, here's the point I want to read you. Basically, the way this went down, as he says, is the equivalent of the settler march that their government's allowing and in fact protecting in the United States would be if white supremacists stormed a majority black neighborhood and shouted death to blacks, calling for ethnic cleansing. As U.S. police, instead of helping and fighting off and defending the people being attacked, they instead attack the black counter-protesters, protecting the white supremacists. Then imagine that the U.S. government directly supported in words, laws, and financially those same white supremacists to take over the homes of the black residents in that area. This would cause an instant unquestionable outrage in Western countries. But because Palestinians have become so dehumanized and Israelis are always assumed to be the reasonable ones, people are trained to try and balance this equation and simply just when it's a one-sided situation, just be like, we call for peace. It's like that doesn't do anything for anybody. It's obvious what's actually happening here. And if we can't realize the context and look back at it and realize that if it was done here, people would lose their collective minds, then we are lying to ourselves. And the reason this analogy is being pulled is not because he's trying to make a point about white supremacy. It's because he's trying to put this in people's minds in a way that makes sense in our radically dumpster fire of a political situation in this country. And this continues. Now, the point is, this happened, and people got bombed in Gaza, which, by the way, is a collective punishment act. We don't know where the balloon came from or who fired it. Even if it was Hamas, you're bombing a densely populated civilian area. Half of them children, which, by the way, is a war crime. Collective punishment is an undeniable war crime. This is the reality. Here's what it actually says. No, well, this is going all the way back to 1899, and you can follow this up all the way down to present, by the way. But it's saying, basically, no general penalty or otherwise can be inflicted on the population on account of the acts of individuals for which it cannot be regarded as collectively responsible. And it's the same basic follow-up all the way to today in regard to collective punishment and the crime that it is. That's exactly what just happened. There are people, inevitably, in these civilian areas that got hurt, or buildings that got destroyed, or livelihoods that got crushed because of a balloon that they never verified and never cared to. But war crimes are totally acceptable for the good guys today. That's just what it is. And following up to today, that was yesterday. Here we are again, and they're continuing to bomb Gaza, even though there was no actual fight. There was no response, and he follows that up in the article. There's no response, and they continue to bomb because Naftali Bennett is trying to prove that he's the hardliner. And this is I'm concerned about where this is going because the international community, whatever the hell that means today, does not seem to care. Which means they're a bunch of disgusting hypocrites. Because these are civilians suffering. Here is why that's happening. Because we're living under a person that can't even make sentences or tie his shoes properly. And here is what he has to say about what things... This is going to make you laugh out loud. This is utterly ridiculous. Now, let me see real quick if I had the video. I think so. Looks like not. Let me just play it on here for you. This is, I mean, I got to say, of all the things that I've seen, especially talking about how blatant and how obvious everything is today, does anybody even people who agree with Biden or agree with our foreign policy are not even quite close to arguing that we're not over there doing things and influencing their direction. I mean, that is the stated purpose of what's happening. Here's what Biden has to say.
His credibility worldwide shrinks.
He's talking about Putin.
Let's get this straight. How would it be if the United States were viewed by the rest of the world as interfering with the elections directly of other countries and everybody knew it? What would it be like if we engaged in activities that he is engaged in? It diminishes the standard.
He meaning all the things they're claiming he's done with zero proof. And I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm simply saying they continue to state things that continue to be shown to be false, the media, and the government that continue to be stated without a modicum of evidence. But okay, because we know Putin does stuff over here, what would it be like if we did those things? You mean like right today, now, Biden? Like literally every day in this country?
And in of a country that is desperate that he is engaged in. It diminishes the standing of a country that is desperately trying to make sure it maintains its standing as a major world power. And so it's not just what I do. It's what the actions that other countries take, in this case, Russia, that are contrary to international norms, it's the price they pay. They are not able to dictate what happens in the world. there are other nations of significant consequence, God, i.e. the United States of America.
Do you realize, look, if he actually believes what he's saying, and I'm not even trying to pretend, I'm not even saying for a moment, let's just say for sake of conversation, everything he said about Russia and Putin is accurate. That's not even relevant to the point. Like, go ahead and give you that. Let's say you believe all the things he just said. How are you not laughing uncontrollably about how he just compared the United States to that? Because that is literally what this country has been doing since I've been alive, since I can look back in history. Biden is an integral part of that. Look at Libya, look at Syria, look at Iraq. It's unbelievably ridiculous for somebody to stand up there in front of the world and state that what would it be like if this exactly thing that we're doing now and everybody knows we're doing were to be happening. It's like they are really desperately trying to rewrite history. As I said, how out of touch or dishonest one must be to act so ignorant about what the entirety of the world is very well aware of. Talk about a post-truth world, feebly trying to rewrite history in real time, and all it does is add to the collective embarrassment Americans are feeling. And you know what? Even the people that try to pretend they're on the side are inside going, gosh darn it, that is a really stupid thing to say. Like, we're literally over here controlling Bolivia's election. We're literally over here controlling Venezuela's election. We are literally doing this every possible place that they can. You know what? The CIA is literally doing it in places we can't see, along with the National Endowment for Democracy. Might as well be the same thing. On and on and on. How embarrassing. That is just ridiculous. And you know what? I don't even know if he understands what he's saying. I mean, how clear has it been so far that this person is not allowed to actually engage? I mean, on that exact point, well, this is the point, funny enough, this is what I posted first, just to give you a laugh, because that's exactly my response. I was like, you know what? They don't even need to write anything with this. It's just that ridiculous. But as Caitlin Johnstone puts, it's weird how Biden's obvious dementia has made it essentially mainstream knowledge that the president doesn't actually call the shots in the U.S. government. But everyone's still going to treat the next presidential election like it matters anyway. You see how almost, I mean, not even close to suggest that Caitlin is mainstream, but you see how mainstream the conversation of the fact that these elections are completely broken has become? Even people that are on the cusp of the two-party discussion are clearly going, well, this is broken, because it is broken, because we've always been lied to, and it's so obvious. They just keep pointing to their side. On that note, though, this is how it keeps going. Here's Tucker coming to save the day because he's on your side, right? Yes, of all people in the mainstream, I would clearly point to him as one of the people that are saying the most close to the truth and sometimes saying things. I mean, the fact that, you know, or saying the truth when it's acceptable, such as finally coming out about the mask study that I've been talking about for a year and saying, look at this thing that came out last month. Nope, fail. I showed you on my show. It's the exact study that came out last year. And it's specifically about cloth masks. I've been talking about this since the beginning of this. The point is that it's now acceptable to maybe start poking at the mask discussion, and so he's allowed to come out with it. That's my opinion. So here we are. Tucker Carlson bizarrely suggests Capitol insurrection was orchestrated by the FBI. Oh, shocking. That's crazy talk, right? I mean, this is allowed to be in the mainstream discussion today. So it can be pushed back on. So it can be like, ooh, look at the Republicans. They're crazy. They're terrorists. They're talking about insurrection. Look, they're trying to cover up what they did. It's about leaning into the same thing we just told you about. But it's frustrating because this is ridiculous in my mind because of how obvious this already was. And we already showed you this. Here's even RT saying media hushes up report suggesting FBI involved in Capitol riot. It says court filings suggest the FBI operatives were among the mob who stormed the U.S. Capitol. Yeah, they were. I've already shown you this, and I'll show you that in a minute. And many others have as well. It's not just me. This evidence was all over the place, right in the mail. Right, I mean, it came out on Twitter multiple ways. It came out on different articles, Time Magazine being one of them. I'll show you next. And may have set up the riot, they said, which, by the way, is what the FBI is known for. The New York Times has covered this in the past. That's what they do. They set up things and then stop them. Now, they claim they're doing this because they're coaxing people into the actions they would take anyway, but let's take their word for it, right? Because it's not like they've committed false flags and lies about major events in the past, right? Of course they were there. There was also an individual that was a known element of the psychological operations outfit with some kind of military operation, but she was there at her own time, right? This was also covered by the mainstream media. All these things have been talked about. So why is it now being pushed out as some kind of possible? The point being that Tucker, they're saying, is insinuating that they manufactured it. Well, so did I. I'm not saying I can prove that. but I very clearly believe they were involved. Carlson's claims were first made a day earlier by Revolver News. Oh, weird. A brand new upstart right-wing site. This is how they continue to make it the new independent. Nope. Sorry, guys, I don't agree with that. And anybody that's lost in the two-party illusion is not independent media, in my opinion. Just period. Like, there's full stop right there. Revolver poured over charging documents against members of the Oath Keepers Proud Boys, right? Both of which were proven to have an FBI element at the top in a leading position. They've admitted it. We've talked about it. So why is this now happening? And discovered alongside the rioters were dozens of unindicted co-conspirators. Now, this is interesting. Those co-conspirators allegedly committed crimes equal or greater to the people that got charged, but they didn't. Which, by the way, adds to what we've already reported, that they did. They were there, and that's why they didn't charge them. That should have been the follow-up. In breaking news, independent media was right. Here is the follow-up. Instead, they grasp the story and go, breaking news, this new thing, and we'll follow it up with more information. Some of them allegedly booked and paid for hotel rooms for militia members. Others provided transport to Washington, D.C. Obviously, guys. The FBI has admitted to infiltrating right-wing militias before. Exactly. And when the country's attention was focused on the threat of Islamic terror rather than white extremism, research suggests that 3/4 of would-be jihadist bombers were in fact given the explosives to carry out their attacks by the FBI. This is not even a contentious topic as much as they pretend it is. It's actually pretty common, and we went over this 100 times. I think that was all I had highlighted. Now, the important part is to show you, as I try to get through this quickly, the mainstream. I mean, just look at the picture. Partners in propaganda. That's just, I mean, God, I don't like Tucker. I don't like anybody in the mainstream media, but that's just dumb. So now because he says something that you think is silly, you're just going to say, you're going to insinuate very clearly that he must be working with Russia. Okay, where's the evidence for him working with Russia, Chris Hayes? Let's not, like, if we were to do something that clumsy and put an image like that next to the president or somebody like that, they would call it out and be like, well, that's not confirmed. You can make a meme that makes fun of something and they go, that's actually fake and it's not real. That the fact check your meme because people are that ridiculous on in the two-party illusion. And he says the purpose here is not for communicating information. It's to break the consensus of reality so that people can be manipulated, radicalized. That's what you're doing, bud. It's incredibly dangerous to our democracy, right? That should be right there. And it's working. Oh, is it? Apparently, well, you want us to think it's working. I clearly don't see what you keep pointing to. I see a lot of stuff on the other side, in fact. Within that illusion, understand? I'm talking about like Antifa riots. And, you know, I'm not seeing this marching white supremacist right wing. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'll always say I don't know if I don't know, but I don't see it. So how can we keep hyping up this fear of something that's just not even there? Visually, I'm saying. But anyway, the point is, here's the reality. This was February 9th, 2021. A man charged in the U.S. Capitol riot worked for the FBI. What? Breaking news months ago. I mean, really think about how stupid that is. This is on Time Magazine. We can have this reported openly. And by the way, I followed up on this. I've shown you the actual information on different shows. But here, shocking, guess what? Here's the article today. Oops. Looks like we just lost that one for you. Our bad, guys. I guess Time Magazine was just doing upkeep and made a mistake. Or maybe they're trying to scrub information that they didn't want known about something they're trying to push out now. You decide. Either way, it's pretty telling it's suddenly gone today, isn't it? But here's the article I put out on January 17th. Understand, we were talking about this stuff right in the beginning because there was a lot of evidence circulating. This is actually a compilation of two different shows I did on this, but you know, watch it if you want. The bottom line is, it's all there. It has been for a long time. Bringing this over into COVID-19, Adam Stratford points out, those of us that have been saying this all that this is all permanent, myself, one of them, aren't doing so because of some weird .org website. Now, I don't even know what he's referencing right there. Probably somebody in his community, his sphere, are telling him that everything he's saying is coming from a site because CNN told them that or something ridiculous like that. Oh, you got all that from that one Facebook post. It's like, what? Like, it's so silly how they hone it down to something that's digestible for people who don't want to see the big picture. We're telling you, this is not going away. And that's not because of something we read. It's because, as he points out, and I agree, we're just anticipating future behaviors based on past ones. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It pretty much always goes like this. Crisis, temporary or trial solutions, permanent change or changes. I mean, historically speaking, that has got to be the most accurate thing I've ever read in my life. That's exactly, I mean, even if it's honest, understand, something bad happens, We try things and then suddenly changes come into play. That is the reality of how this works. You think governments haven't realized how to abuse that situation? Problem, reaction, solution, guys. This is constant. Constant. So everyone out there going, oh, you're just saying that because of that. No, how about you just realize that we're considering what you're saying and realizing there's a lot more involved than just one small data point. Now, here is another interesting point in regard to the mainstream media in the same way, right? And realize it's not just Fox News either. It's all of it. Just in, scientists did not come forward sooner to back the Wuhan lab theory. And I'm not saying that's, you know, my stance on this. The Wuhan lab, the lab leak theory is a limited hangout that's being pushed out there. Not even half. That's like a 15th of the story. It's a very small part. An important part, but a small part of a large story that they want you to think China bad guy, only Wuhan, only Fauci, or however they reduce it down. When you just barely scratch past the surface, it's ridiculous. So many more people involved, so many more decisions being made that cross over to the U.S. far more than China, despite where it was. The point being, though, is that they're saying scientists didn't come forward. Now we're now finding out at the time, because it was actually scarier to be associated with Trump. And this is a quote. And to become a tool for racists, so people didn't want to publicly call for an investigation into lab origins. Now, if Fauci can come back and be like, oh, what I said before was not true, but it was because I was lying for your safety, or whatever nonsensical flip-floppy thing they do, you can argue this was stated, but who knows if they're saying it now and they're going to swing back and go, no, I did, whatever. The point is, we're taking it at face value because it's stated, it's a quote, they said it. According to NBC, I'll show you the article next. Think about how huge that is. I mean, I don't care if we have nothing else in front of us. Do you realize what they're saying right there? One, they're telling you that they ignored a real story that was tied to one of the most important things happening in the world at the moment. And still, and I'm not even saying COVID-19, I'm saying everything happening around it, the government's actions, the loss of rights. The point is the lab leak theory was a discussion that was huge and tied to like the biggest story in the planet. And they just went, we'll just not talk about it because Trump, bad guy. That makes them the most childish, immature, bad at their job people in the world. And that's the people now in charge of continuing to tell you things. Do you think maybe they're also making subjective personal choices in their lives about what they're telling you now? Shocking, right? It's almost like that leads into everything we're talking about, that they're making choices based on things that aren't considering what's best for you or what's most important. Instead, well, we don't like Trump, so we'll hide that until later. So people didn't want to publicly call for an investigation. Gosh darn it, that makes me mad. Because we know this. It's not even secret. And now they're even admitting that. Like it's an okay thing to say. Well, because we all know Trump is terrible, so we can just not report the news until Trump's gone? Now, again, I do not think this is the reality, the whole of it anyway. And I think that's kind of why this is coming out. But this is my point. They would rather be incompetent or be seen as incompetent than criminal. This is always the mantra. They will come out and be like, yes, make ourselves look really bad for a moment so we can, you know, show you how subjective we are and circle back and try to fix that later, as long as you don't realize that we knowingly lied to you, that we knowingly hid this information and didn't just do it because we don't like Trump. See how that works? Now it says one can only hope these are not the same scientists collecting and analyzing data on vaccines. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure we know that they are. The science around the lab leak theory hasn't changed. Isn't that telling? I said that right in the beginning of this new discussion. Hasn't changed. No new evidence. So suddenly they're going, we reevaluated the evidence. How transparent is that? So they waited until they wanted to, and they pushed this back out. We are seeing, what's the right analogy for that? I mean, we are seeing through their, I can't even think the right thing to say there. You know, like I think Caitlin Johnstone's a good analogy, like seeing through the crack of the door. You know, it's like we are seeing them for what they are right now. It's very transparent, jamming this out. But here's why some scientists have waited. Five virologists said few conclusions can be drawn based on the available scientific evidence, but they noted that the context and circumstances of the debate have changed. Not the data, though. Understand, the data, the science is the same, they're telling you. But the circumstances have changed. Why? Because, well, now they're not going to be associated with Trump. That's not even a joke. While public discussion of a potential lab leak has shifted significantly in recent months, as more people pay attention to a theory that was originally promulgated by former President Trump, that's not even true. This is something that, for instance, T-Lab has been talking about since long before COVID-19. One of the first things that I talked about, or someone like Spiro, for instance, we were like right out of the gate going, hey, just for context, here's the past of the U.S. government and their bio labs and blah, blah, blah. Right? This came from Trump. This is like Trump standing up and saying, the solution will not be worse than the cure, except that's exactly what actually happened. He said that because he tapped into what we people in the independent media were saying. We saw that just like the election. But it says, the scientific evidence has remained unchanged. Make sure you see that. According to interviews with five virologists who have experience in microbiology. So all it is that suddenly Trump's not around, now they're going to talk about it. These people should never be listened to again. Ever. They are not in the right position, if you believe this is an honest position, at the very least. Oh, of course, and then here's Fauci circling back around to make a fool of himself yet again, as I'm wearing my Fauci says obey t-shirt. In case you guys didn't see that when we started, perfect, right? Fauci says obey, COVID-1984. I forget who sent that to me. But here's what he's actually saying. I mean, this is not even a joke.
People forget that, but if you go back then, even though you lean towards feeling that this is more likely a natural occurrence, we always felt that you've got to keep an open mind, all of us. We didn't get up and start announcing it, but we've always said, keep an open mind and continue to look. So I think it's a bit of a distortion to say that we deliberately suppress that.
When he says we, first of all, what are we talking about, right? Deliberately? What about The Lancet? What about The New York Times? What about The Washington Post? Every single one of them came out and said, fake news, conspiracy theory, this is dangerous, you're all a problem, we can't talk about this, the science says, it's already been proven. All of the mainstream said that, and that's why the mainstream is simply a tool of the government, because they can stand back and be like, it was the media, we didn't do that. Well, obviously, they also didn't say that Iraq was this and that was responsible for you know, 9/11, but that media pushed that narrative, and the 90% of Americans thought that. It's the same point. Are you really pretending that you always keep an open mind? Fauci, you aggressively said this wasn't true in the beginning. We all saw it. And this is just for the people that don't care about the truth and only care about the narrative and want to believe that they're all on the good side, good guy side, and we're fighting for freedom and vaccines save you all. And they're going to go, Fauci said, didn't you hear him? He just said he didn't say that. So how can you think he did? Who cares if that video shows him saying that? You're lying. That's fake news. Deep fakes. Doesn't matter. That's the dumbest thing possible, that he's just come plumbing out. He knows he didn't say that. He knows he didn't say keep an open mind, but here we are, right? What about the implantable chip discussion, right? That's fake news, right? Same discussion. Here's DARPA. This is just a different discussion from a different site, not necessarily COVID-related. Here it is, DARPA. This is from today. Through DARPA's Small Business Innovation Research Program, scientists at MicroLeads have developed a high-res, multi-waveform implantable simulator chip. It is a chip, in fact, and multi-scale electrodes for providing high-res therapy for nerves on the spinal cord. Okay, interesting. All my point was is, wait, an implantable chip? No, but I thought that was fake news, right? Where's Melinda Gates? Well, why didn't that? Does that technology even exist, right? It's like, here it is. It's like, how dumb do they think we are if it's that obvious? This tech in many different fields, including vaccine tech, by the way, has been in the works for decades. I've talked about it before this. Anyone who even uses the term fake news, by the way, and not in an ironic way, is completely lost. And finally, I want to show you this pic before we get into and I see I even took much longer than I wanted to in the opening part, but I'll give you the cheat sheet and we'll jump into the mass discussion. Here is an interesting thing. Now, I want to play some of the things that were exposed by this. I feel a very strong partisan push in this, where it's not always the case with Project Veritas. It usually is, but not more so in this one than a lot of ways. But I want to show you what they said, because that's the point, right? It's not about it's about what they can prove. And if they got this stuff on film, that's what I care about. I don't care. I honestly don't care as much about what she's stating. I care about what they can actually prove, which is what you can actually see. But it's interesting because this is another mainstream media journalist, reporter, who is left, just like Alison Morrow, for instance. And it's telling you exactly what really goes on in mainstream media. Take a look at this. Let me see if, maybe I did actually, hold on. No, I guess I didn't. Okay, we'll just do it here.
Many times was based on their viewer demographics.
I have asked on Bitcoin stories by almost every single reporter for our 5 o'clock audience, because that's not our 5 o'clock audience. So there are lots of reasons. If I know our numbers are tanking from 5 to 6, and in one particular segment, an older woman, whatever, I may say, yeah, the Bitcoin for African-American audience of five, it's probably not going to play.
Right. So two things to show you here. First of all, some people, I guess, would say that's mildly racist, but it's not even the least important. I don't find that to even be racist. I find it to be opportunist. And what they're really doing is saying, well, regardless of how important the story may be, whatever it's about, Bitcoin, foreign policy, doesn't matter. The point is, it's tailored towards what they think will sell to these people, right? So instead of going, who cares where you are, what you look like, which I guess you could call a form of racism, like that we're tailoring our news based on your skin color. But the fact that it's about what's most important to the country, to news, right? And so it doesn't matter. They are using ratings and demographics to inform their just news decisions. Does that sound like an honest outlet? No, it sounds like a company, which is what they are today. They're not interested in giving you what's most important. They're interested in selling you things.
That's a choice I'm making. An editorial choice?
What does she mean by that?
Moving on to the next part. Now, they talk about hydroxychloroquine and this is the crazy part. And this is actually an interesting part. Plenty of doctors have been talked about this. Studies have come out. So at the very least, it's a no-brainer to argue that this is a valid question. But of course, this has been wildly politicized, like all the rest of it has. And I argue that simply because if you have a valid treatment suddenly, and I'll show you that later in the end of the show, you lose the legitimate reason for emergency authorization, right? That's not even talking about the state of emergency, but the emergency use authorization for these vaccines very clearly defines one main part amongst others, that you must have no other alternative treatment. Very clear. And that's probably why this happened.
Dr. Verone, is what proves that?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. We have used it. I mean, we know that it's a drug that has been politicized up to the world. So we used it. We used it with success.
I asked that question because I'm not getting those tips from the viewers. And that was a story, by the way, that Susan Lee sent me to cover COVID treatments at that hospital. I just was supposed to ask that question.
Right. So we're supposed to go there. We're supposed to cover the story. We're supposed to talk to the doctor about treatment. I mean, think about how crazy that is. Like, literally the most specific story. And so she's not allowed to ask about a treatment that they're using? Apparently not.
To cease and desist posting about hydroxychloroquine. In my opinion, you failed as a reporter.
Wow.
To not know more if you were going to post about hydroxychloroquine, that you didn't look it up and look at the latest post, the latest research about it.
You didn't look it up? What does that even have to do with anything? Your story is about what the doctor says he's using. Are you supposed to stop them because you don't politically agree with what he says he's using? Is the story about what you politically agree with, or is the story about what that doctor is using? You see the point? They're directing the flow of information. And guys, this isn't a secret. We all know this. It's about the one person in the chat right now that maybe didn't know that. And realize this is Fox News, guys. That's why I constantly want people to realize it is not left and right. It's your government controlling the media, controlling you, all of them. The two-party system is a way to keep you guys fighting each other.
Read the articles. There was a major study in the New England Journal of Medicine on July.
And there's already been studies so far in this process of COVID-19 that have been in the New England Journal of Medicine that have been shown to be faulty, wrong, incorrect. We've also shown you ones that said things that we agree with that they completely ignore. So it's hypocritical. It is a double standard, right? They are being hypocrites by ignoring things and then pretending that only one that says what we like is the only one you can talk about. You can't even bring it up because we already said this one thing is the final science. That's crazy. And she's referencing the doctor that went viral speaking about it, as if that has anything to do with the fact that this doctor is using that treatment at this place she's supposed to interview about what he's treating people with.
Read the articles.
There was a
major study in the New England Journal of Medicine on July 23rd before that doctor, went viral. I mean, you didn't refer to any of that.
That study makes him more news.
So refer to that. So what is she? This is what we actually see from a lot of mainstream garbage. So somebody brings up a point and they challenge them. Like not in a debate context, but so ask you, hey, what are you treating people with? Okay, hydroxychloroquine. Oh, well, but the study says it's false and you shouldn't be using it. Like, that's not the proper context for that interview. If you had them at the desk and you were actually having an argument or discussion about what should be used, well, yes, then you could, but you were interviewing a doctor about what he's using and you're a reporter. He's a credentialed expert doctor. This is the absurd backward nature of what mainstream media believes they are. Everything, apparently.
Aware of that study, which is why I posted him.
What study?
Because
which study?
I referenced
the study you just asked about, lady. Good God. And the point is, she put it in the information. So that's the crazy part. So this person didn't even look to see if she had, just made a broad assumption that if she referenced that or talks about it, she must be a conspiracy theorist that doesn't reference information. But it was, and it was in there. So that means the editor who's supposed to do this didn't even look and made the assumption. Like, she's the one, right? She's the one doing the thing she's pointing out about people she calls conspiracy theorists. How funny is that?
It in my story about Dr. Emanuel. She's shutting down a news story that's actually happening. And that's just one of many news stories.
YouTube cutting in, as usual. That's not kidding. Nice. Oh, see? Oh, weird. That's crazy. Just suddenly stopped. That's YouTube for you. By the way, since the last deletion of my channel and whatever else, I literally cannot use the chat unless I open up somebody else's account. You know how you use the chat? You just goes for anybody, right? Not me. No matter what. If I'm opening my account, the chat says disconnected every time. No matter what, without fail. And also, the chat, the numbers on the view count on live videos just stops. Me personally, though, they're not petty at all, are they? It just makes me laugh. It makes me laugh about how pathetically ridiculous they are. But let's keep going forward. I think there was one other point I wanted to share.
Vice President and News Director Susan Schiller and Assistant News Director.
I thought you loved that. Susan Schiller. That's just priceless. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm laughing because it's like there's so many things today where I feel like we're almost being trolled. You know, like Susan Schiller is shilling for Fox News.
Lee Meyer.
Everything's going to be under the microscope. You're not posting anything without Susan or I signing off on it.
Look at that. That's Allison Morrow right there being 100% confirmed. That once you cross a line, which means you ask the things you're not supposed to ask about valid questions or about valid topics, that they will now say you have to check everything. You don't get to just be a reporter anymore. We will micromanage everything you do, and we have to sign off on your work.
Industry executives who are the people who hire us and keep us employed. That's the part that needs to make a difference to you. It's not just about the viewers. It's about what our CEO reads.
Of course it is, right? So it's not about, first of all, it shouldn't be about the viewers at all, in fact. It should be about what's fact, what is news, what is accurate, right? See, when they even say it's not about the viewers, that means, first, it's not about the ratings. Well, yes, it obviously is, because the only two things they're considering in front of you are the ratings and what their bosses say. That's it. Newsworthiness is a secondary, distant third, if possible, if at all. It's right there in front of you. Right? The accuracy of the information and what is valid to the informing the electorate, right? That is what should matter. Not whether it's bleed, if it bleeds, it leads, but we know that's how they operate today.
It's about what our GM reads.
Exactly.
It's not just
it's pretty telling, isn't it?
How come you guys are like the all vaccine all the time channel?
We hire producers, which are the ones that write the show,
mm-hmm.
that are right out of college, about 25 years old. They don't pay them squat. They just regurgitate what they're fed. And so...
This is a photographer speaking, so take that for what you will.
That's how it ends up being that. It's low-hanging fruit.
It's not like this top-down.
No. It's low-hanging fruit. They're doing vaccines across town. Well, let's go get video of that. And at first, it's like, yeah, it's a big deal. You know, when the vaccine first comes out, 3 months later, it's like, okay, you know, vaccines available.
That was the journalism school's definition of propaganda.
So every commercial now has got COVID. Every other one. So how's that work? Who buys that space?
Where does that
CDC?
Yeah. And I think about why are you doing that? And this is what it is. I'm not just going to say Fox 26.
Yeah, no, everybody.
ABC,
PRC. I just watch TV. I just see it all day, every day.
The whole time, it's like, let's be
So the CDC is spending money to propagandize you. We know that, though.
You didn't pay me, though, to get all that time? They do? Like, so...
Right. So now there's a profit motive here, right? So that's obvious. So they're paying more than other people to the mainstream to get advertisements to push you to get vaccinated, right? And I understand the CDC makes money from those sales of vaccines. That's not a secret. RFK Jr.'s talked about it. Plenty of people have. Right, which is ridiculous. It's like the FDA profiting off the sale of oil, or excuse me, the EPA profiting off the sale of oil, yet supposedly supposed to stop and regulate. It's a joke. Here they are telling you that they pay more. So that means the mainstream media will tailor their coverage to the people paying them more, like Big Pharma and whoever else. It's not a secret, but it's being revealed.
They would pay more in Mercedes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the thing about it, you never imagine the clients that fight over positions to get into something.
But they take all the
positions. They're like, all right, I'll pay y'all.
It's advertisers. Even they admit, quote, a lot of stuff can happen, unquote.
So could the ad council call you and be like, hey, I want to run all these spots, but I want to make sure your journalists aren't running any anti-vax stories.
If that happens, it's a bug article.
You won't know about it. What about you?
It's a bug.
Would you hear
it? Do you think you
hear about it?
Oh, that happened. Oh, I'm so sad to hear that.
It goes, there's a hierarchy in the tree. But does stuff like that ever happen?
I mean, I'll leave it there. The point is, it's very, very obvious here, guys. Very, very obvious that the media is controlled, or at the very least, aggressively financially influenced by the very people who have an agenda, whether it's the CDC or anybody else. The point is, the media is not just going, what's the most accurate, most up-to-date information and giving it to you. They're considering other factors first. I don't even know why that's a contentious thing to discuss. It's patently obvious and clear. Now, on to the next part in regard to your cheat sheet. Very quickly, I'm not going to go through these because I've gone through them in many shows in the past, but I just want this to be included today. This is the meta-analysis of 113 different infection fatality rate studies on COVID-19 that clearly finds that if you're under 10, your infection fatality rate, you mean the risk to your life, is 0.002%. Under 10 years old, at age 25, it is 0.01%. This is the most accurate compilation of all the 113 studies of the infection fatality rate around COVID-19. And they're trying to tell you you're in danger. They're trying to tell you these children need to be injected with 0.002%. which is basically statistically zero. That's an important one to show people that this is real time, that we are not in danger based on the accurate science or the fact that according to May 26, 2021, that you could have antibodies for a lifetime if you've previously had natural COVID-19. People have recovered from it, can have it in their bone marrow for a lifetime, most of their lives. So if that's the case, why would we need this, especially if you think you've already gotten it? Which is the vast majority of this country, as well as the fact that a study that I also include with this, but I should have grabbed, shows you that the uninfected, the vast majority of this country, have already got antibody reactivity. That's whether or not you've been infected, which shows you that either was here long before, or the idea that the cold or other things created them before we got here. And the rest of this is an illusion. Think about it how you want for yourself. The point is, that's the reality. They're keeping it from you. Here's the WHO telling you that within 4 weeks following infection, almost up to 99% of people infected with the natural version have antibodies. And we're telling you, the point is, it's almost for the rest of your life. This is currently the current state of the information. They're not telling you that. Here is another follow-up that says, on top of that, that the new studies find that people who previously had it, that the injection doesn't give them any additional benefits at all. In fact, it creates possible more risk. But the point is, they're telling you just get it anyway. No, it's no benefit, and you don't need it anyway. And on top of that, the reality is, according to multiple scientific studies, this is the Salk Institute, the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease. Meaning that the injection that creates the spike protein in your body is enough to cause disease, as well as the blood clots and thrombosis and all the things we've already talked about. Put that in your pocket. Carry it around. Here's the other one from Oxford Academic telling you that out of 13 people, 11 showed detectable levels of the spike protein as early as one day after vaccination in their blood. Right? So that means clearly the spike protein is flowing through your body. And that's dangerous, as all the new science is telling you. And here's another study that's saying, well, that means there's implications for possible consequences of this injection that they're not telling you about, telling you that thus it is important to be aware the spike protein produced by the new COVID vaccines may also affect the host cells in the same way. Here's the other one telling you it's experimental, which you need to know so people can realize that if it's experimental and there's no approved drugs to prevent COVID-19, this is as of May 10th, 2021, that means it literally is illegal to mandate, which we'll talk about more in the end of the show. Illegal. Illegal to make people take before school, before anything, because it's an experimental injection. And the Wall Street Journal just put a huge article out that says exactly that. It's unethical and wrong. And here we are. Is the Wall Street Journal some fake news anti-science fringe outlet, right? How ridiculous is this getting where even people in their own circles are saying, guys, this is crazy. And all they can do is say, conspiracy theory. That's all they have. Well, here is the informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects that found very clearly that COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may in fact sensitize the recipient to more severe disease, which is called antibody-dependent enhancement. The specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be now prominently and independently disclosed. The specific and significant risk, not hypothetical. That's to anybody taking it, research, anybody, in order to meet medical ethics standards of informed consent. They're not. That was back on December 2020, and it was reconfirmed on March 2021. This is peer-reviewed research, guys. They don't care. There's a risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. We'll get into it more in a minute. And the reality is what we're seeing today is people who get this thing after the fact, whatever that may be, is clearly creating much more illness in these people, and there's plenty of evidence for it. And this is a scientific research, peer-reviewed scientific research that's telling you that risk is clear, specific, significant. Show that to people. Now, here is a point from this gentleman in regard to, I guess I don't know who it is, let's think about somebody else, but saying that I've been on top of this discussion from the beginning, and I have, because I've been pointing out this study for a long time, and showing you that this is the case, showing you the article, and pointing to this, where this person says, I was just informed that my colleague's sister-in-law, who is fully vaccinated, contracted COVID from someone also fully vaccinated, and she's very, very ill. The point of this tweet is we can't go back to normal yet, this person says, no matter how badly we want it. So, yet, he says, right? So they're literally arguing that we just need to keep vaccinating, apparently. We can't go back yet. We need to keep doing what the government says. But you literally just said fully vaccinated, infected, fully vaccinated, and she's very, very ill. That, yes, exactly. This is antibody-dependent enhancement, guys. This is crazy. Or some variation. The bottom line, people are not, or it doesn't work at all, however you want to look at it. The bottom line is this is dangerous. And the last in your pocket one to add to this list is the one about face masks, which brings us over into the face mask discussion. This is a constantly updating compilation from Swiss Policy Research about masks. And they've been updating this. This is as of May 2021. I'm sure it'll update this month as well. And every month they update it. And so far, most studies found little to no evidence for the effectiveness of face masks in general population, neither as personal protective equipment nor as source control. And they list them all off, as I've done 1,000 times. The CDC meta-analysis from May 2020 that is a clear example of what we're saying, but they just challenged it later with a model study and said, no, it's not valid anymore. Danish one that they are refusing to peer review. European CDC, Oxford, Cochrane Review, which is huge, New England Journal of Medicine, British Medical Journal, all of them telling you the same thing, but it's all fake news. Keep those in your pocket. And that alone should wake somebody up if they're willing to look at the information. Now, bringing this over into the mask discussion, a group of parents sent their kids' face masks to a lab for analysis. Here's what they found. Are you ready? Are you gonna? It's just so frustrating. You all know what's coming. You all know because we've been talking about this for a long time. We've been told for well over a year that widespread forced public masking should be implemented because even if only moderately to slightly to negligibly effective, at curbing the spread of COVID-19, there are zero drawbacks. And they still scream this. What's the harm, they say? It's only a minor inconvenience, they bleat. If it saves one life, it's worth it. It's just crazy, right? Meanwhile, as they put on Team Reality, they have not only continued to point to real-world data that shows that masks be entirely ineffective, we've also maintained that forced public masking, this is town hall speaking, especially long-term, has negative social, societal, and even health ramifications, as I've said as well, that the powers that shouldn't be are all too happy to ignore in subservience to their newfound face mask god. It only stands to reason that one of those health ramifications would be the fact that millions of people, particularly children, have been forced to wear and carry around pieces of cloth they've continually breathed through for hours on end. What lurking pathogens might be found on these disgusting contraptions being incessantly handled, stuck in pockets, and mindlessly tossed on books, tables, and desks? Well, one group of Florida parents sent a batch of masks worn by their children to a lab to find out. Good for them. And yes, you'll probably need to make sure you aren't eating dinner anytime soon before you digest these results. Now, they go through it here, but let's jump over to the actual results from the actual site, Rational Ground. And here is the actual lab report. So you guys can, somebody's always willing to just dismiss it. Oh, you can't. Who knows? They could have made that up. I'll dismiss it without even researching it. Here's the actual lab report. You can use the PDFs. You can go right through it yourself, verify it for yourself. Here's the information. Dangerous pathogens found on children's face masks. Six masks. Well, actually, let me read first, then I'll go back through. Let's read it first. A group of parents in Gainesville, Florida, sent six face masks to a lab at the University of Florida, requesting an analysis of contaminants found on the masks after they had been worn. The resulting report found that five masks were contaminated with bacteria, parasites, and fungi, including three with dangerous pathogenic and pneumonia-causing bacteria. Although the test is capable of detecting viruses, including SARS-CoV-2, only one virus was found on the mask. Herpes virus. What do you know? And that perfectly cued in with everything else we're talking about? Now, before I jump read that, it says half the masks, this is important, half of the masks were contaminated with one or more strains of pneumonia-causing bacteria, one-third were contaminated with one or more strains of meningitis-causing bacteria, one-third were contaminated with dangerous antibiotic-resistant bacterial pathogens. In addition, less dangerous pathogens were identified, including pathogens that can cause fever, ulcers, acne, yeast infections, shocking, strep throat, shocking, periodontal disease. Where have we heard this before? Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I haven't even heard of that. And more. Most important part, the face masks studied were new or freshly laundered before wearing. Okay? So right out of the gate, they were either brand new or freshly laundered. So it wasn't like they just picked them up off the desk or something else. They made sure that they were fresh and new or laundered and had been worn after that for 5 to 8 hours. Most during in-person schooling by children age 6 through 11. Now, one was worn by an adult. A t-shirt worn by one of the children to school and unworn masks were tested as controls, which is smart. So they took one of the t-shirts that were worn while they were there wearing the mask, right? So you'd think if it was just kind of everywhere, it would be on the t-shirt too. No pathogens were found on the controls at all. Unworn masks or the t-shirt that they were wearing while wearing the mask. Samples from the front, top, and bottom of the t-shirt found proteins that are commonly found in skin and hair, along with some commonly found in soil. So nothing alarming, normal stuff that you find all the time. A parent who participated in the study, Miss Amanda Donahoe, commented that this small sample, because it is a small sample, points to a need for more research, because that's the truth. Quote, "We need to know what we are putting on the faces of our children each day. Masks provide a warm, moist environment for bacteria to grow." Now, the frustrating part about this is people will probably dismiss this. Oh, it's only six masks. Okay. So where's the one the government did that shows this is safe? Right? Where's the one that shows 100,000 people all have masks and the majority of them are safe? Where's that? That's because the government didn't do that. The government is just blindly trusting that they're trusting nothing, in fact. Right? But these masks that are made by a million different people, most of them come from China, in fact, no actual regulations. Companies, as long as they've got a piece of fabric and some cloth and some string on it, you can sell them at the gas station. Right? I've gone over this before. There is no regulatory body that manages how they're supposed to be made. Yet somehow they all, any one of them, can keep you safe. This is the most childishly ridiculous argument I've ever heard, and it's continuing to fall apart. But this shows you that they took these masks, they tested them because your government doesn't care to, and found exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning. And guys, you don't even need this study to figure this out. The science, the scientific research that has been on this topic long before COVID-19 made this abundantly clear. They just pretend it's not there. The crazy part is that they won't do this research. And these people aren't even saying, see, masks are dangerous. They're saying, this gives us information that adds to the point we need more research. We need to figure this out and do this to find out if they're safe at all. Because you haven't done that yet, government. 83% of them were contaminated, 96 unique strains, 21 pathogenic strains, six masks we're talking about. 50% were contaminated with pathogens. 33%, two of them, with antibiotic-resistant strains. You know how dangerous that is? including pneumonia and meningitis. Now, here's the reality. If half of these masks, 50% of what they tested, has the potential to give you pathogenic and pneumonia-causing bacteria, that leads to exactly what is being diagnosed as COVID-19. And not even in that included, just combined with COVID-19. They're combining flu, pneumonia, and COVID-19. I don't know why I got confused about that. It's on their website, PIC. Look it up for yourself. I've shown you 1,000 times. So if you get someone pneumonia wearing a mask, that will be that's included in COVID-19. That's not even a secret. So here is the answer to how obviously they're knowingly fudging these numbers. Remember, because we know by research that the vast majority of cases from 1918 were pneumonia. Masks weren't part of that discussion. But yes, I do think that was likely something that added to that. But the point is, pneumonia was the vast majority of what they said was actually Spanish flu that started in Kansas, by the way. Verified, easy to look up. So here we are with the masks increasing the risk and causing pneumonia, which then leads to what they call COVID-19. And in fact, leads to a lot of other problems that then also get called COVID-19. Look at all the things they're seeing. Streptococcus, remember that? The exact one that I'm talking about, the strep in your mouth that gets dried out by the mask and then gets breathed back into your lungs because your mouth is dry. This has been discussed before COVID-19. Or all the rest that you can see here. This is alarming stuff. Look at the study for yourself. Look at the lab report. This verifies what we've been saying. And on that note, I should just grab this really quickly, because I want to include this for you, even though I have all the mask links listed below, always on pretty much every article I do. I want to include for you guys, maybe even just this link actually, but look at this, right here, perfect one. Do masks cause bacterial pneumonia? The great mask deception. I'll just do those ones. Why not? This one too. We have, this was the first one back in December 30th, 2020. Asking the very clear question, can they cause pneumonia? That's it. Fake news, censored, right? All of it, of course, right? Censored by YouTube, not there anymore, even though it's 100% verifiable. And now it's even beginning to come out with the science. How funny is that, right? Shocking, like everything else we've said. The next one was the great mask deception, where I go over the larger breadth of the information, right? About how they don't actually work the way that they're supposed to, the way that they do a lot of other things. And then finally, my realization that masks are making you sick. And it seems that's simply part of the plan. As well as one of the mass science is clear if you're doubting the science behind this is one of the, or this is back on July 25th, 2020. So this was the first one, in fact. In any case, it's all there, guys. And we've been documenting this at every step of the way. Every step. And we are vindicated by everything else we've talked about. And so are you for sharing it. Now, here are what children are doing in Israel once they're told you can remove the mask. Remember all the media, oh, look at the kids love the mask. Oh, they love it. It's all part of their new, you know, it's all, they get to wear new images on it. No, they get used to it. They don't want to get rid of them, right? We keep getting fed these lies from the media because they want you to keep doing it. Here's what the kids actually feel.
אני רוצה להודיע לכם שבהחלטת הממשלה הוחלט שמהיום לא צריך מסכות גם בכיתות.
Oh, great. So they were all wearing a bunch of totally virus-laden protection, right? That they were wearing because they were all in danger, right? According to the Israeli government, our government. And then they took them off and then just rubbed them between their hands over and over and over and then threw them in the air. And right, because that's totally safe because suddenly on a dime, it's no longer dangerous, right? Watch again. Tearing them in half, rubbing them, tearing the strings off, throwing them in the air, creating aerosolized particulates, right? It's just so stupid. Like, I'm not even saying that's a danger. What I'm saying is this is dumb because of their own narrative, right? One, kids are happy to not have to wear these dangerous pieces of bacteria cloth on their mouth, but that they don't. So were they dangerous yesterday? I mean, it's just so stupid. And that speaks to the next point exactly. Since I'm talking about it, where is it? Right here, right? Carl Vernon points out, being such a biohazard, shouldn't these things be incinerated? Maybe it's better for the environment that billions of them float in the sea, Greta, right? This is what we're doing. All the people that are screaming about climate change and everything and saving the planet are the ones wearing 13 masks a day with gloves and sanitizer all the time. That's the point. And by the way, that's bipartisan, guys. I mean, I know we want to keep trying to jam this into the usual things. There's plenty of Republicans I know that are scared out of their minds about this. Not as many, I would argue, but it goes both ways. The masks are... They told us in the middle of 2020, all of them, all these institutions and just environmental stuff, people out there screaming in the middle of 2020 that this is a huge problem and we need to act now or it's going to destroy everything. Nobody cared. COVID dangerous. So mask. Yet at the same time, they were yelling at people for not driving electric cars or, it's just so ridiculous. And that's what's happening. But yeah, but the point is too, biohazard, right? Who cares? If it was Ebola, are we going to pretend we would just dump them in the trash? We're being played, and it's plainly obvious. Well, here is a London checkpoint now handing out fines to children, right? Who cares that they're laden with all sorts of dangerous things and not actually helping them do anything? In fact, hurting them, causing hypoxia, hypercapnia. We've gone over all of this. And they're fining children for not wearing them in London.
Face coverings. So it's still mandatory, is it?
Yes.
God.
You got.
Do you
want
to move along then?
No, we don't.
Because this guy's giving his personal information. And right. Realistically, I don't want you here sneakily filming it because you've been trying to catch police and doing whatever it is you think that we're doing. All right. What I will tell you is, though, my colleague has seen you cycle on a footpath, all right, which is an offence. So if you're worried about what we're doing, we can deal with that offence, and your GoPro can be evidence of that offence, and we can see that section.
Just for sight, for just going back and forth on the footpath.
Yes, no.
Oh, is it okay? He pulls his mask down. We're all in danger, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, this guy doesn't want you.
And he's touched his mask like 45 times since then. You realize that the CDC says you're supposed to change it every time you touch it, and he's writing tickets to children for not wearing the things as he's doing this, and then writing tickets with a dirty hand and gives them to children. Yeah, this is all makes sense, right, guys? And this person says, just put your bloody mask on, with 5 likes, 19 hours ago. Well, guess what? This guy says, 81 comments disagreeing and just 4 likes, the tide is turning. Oh, actually, hold on. I think I missed one of them. How did I do that? That's strange. I think it might be right underneath this one. Yeah, okay, that's weird. That's what I meant to show you. The other guy was replying to that in a weird way. But so this guy says, just put the mask on, right? And they want you to think that's the majority. Well, this guy says, just take it off. 90 likes to 5. Same time frame, right? So as he says, that was why I was showing you that, is he's right. 81 disagreeing and just 4 likes, the tide is turning. And I agree with that. The point is, it's always been there. We've just been lied to about what the majority is. That's my opinion. Well, here's an interesting part. I give this a shout to Ivor Cummings, who actually shared this. He had somebody seek this out, and this is on a web archive. Deborah Cohen, who, so you know, is health correspondent for BBC Newsnight, mainstream media journalist, right? And an editor of the British Medical Journal Latest, right? So what she says is totally real, right? Totally real. And it can't be fake news because she's mainstream and works for British Medical Journal, right? Well, here's what she says. We had been told by various sources the WHO committee reviewed the evidence and had not backed masks, but they recommended them due to political lobbying. This point, according to the mainstream media, was put to the WHO, who did not deny it. We said some people think we should not wait for random controlled trials before putting policy in place. We said some people think we should not wait. So we shouldn't wait for the science before we push in a policy? Yep, exactly. That's where we are today. And that's why it's only now coming out. And because they realize they made a mistake, or whether they didn't care or not, or care one way or the other, they're trying to aggressively keep this from being realized. But we all know this. If you have 2 brain cells strung together, everything in front of you shows you this is the reality, including them telling you in the beginning that this was the reality, and only now coming back around and going, wait, we kind of lied in the beginning. Nope, it was the other way around. The WHO knew there wasn't evidence for it, did it for political reasons. They were asked that. They didn't deny it. According to the BBC. But we're all fake news, right? Just ignore the unpopular things that show you you're wrong, right? Was mask wearing pointless after all? Fauci must be forced to answer. Did we ever need masks? It's a touchy, complex question. People may not want to learn that millions of us covered our faces for 15 months for no good reason after all. But asking the question is exactly what we must do. Yeah, you mean like we've been doing the entire time? Way to be a trailblazer, New York Post. No. It's because they're allowed to talk about it now, guys. It's being allowed to be dripped out because we have been calling this out since the minute this started. Well, we must ask the question, were we confused? this is the fake resistance. It's the fake back and forth. If you're still lost in the two-party illusion and mainstream spheres, you are lost. You do not see the full picture, and all you see is Tucker say something, and you really think, oh no, it's a breaking story. He's on my side. Last week, a trove of Dr. Anthony Fauci's emails were released to the public. Right? We talked about this. February 5th, an email to Team Obama health official. The virus guru wrote the masks were for infected people, and that, quote, the typical mask you buy at a drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. That was one of the most important things we saw in those emails, which we showed you last time, because that is contrary to what he is actively saying. Now, he argues that he just saw new things since then, which, as they point out, Fauci now claims the new information emerged since the time of the email proving the efficacy of masks, but did it? As they point out, did the virus magically grow in size? Did the mask suddenly shrink in size? Neither of those things happened. So what new information did you see, Fauci? I mean, this is how dumb they think you are. We think we all are. That we can't just rationally think like, wait a minute, if it's the size thing you just said, what actually is possible to change, right? Obviously. We didn't realize the size changed. It's the same as it was. It says when he referenced the mask in the drugstore at that point, he meant medical masks. Remember, medical masks are just masks at the Walgreens. Surgical masks are something else. But most Americans spent more than a year wearing cloth masks. If medical masks couldn't contain the tiny virus, how could the cloth ones? Exactly. As well as the fact that cloth masks dramatically increase your risk of infection, according to the British Medical Journal. Kay and Fauci point to any studies showing that masks made a significant difference in containing the coronavirus. He can't. There are questions that should be asked of Fauci today. Instead, we have an adoring press that refuses to do its job. This is where we are, and if you're still playing a part in this, you are keeping this going. Nobody else. Here is what some people are actually saying. This is crazy. And I mean possibly actually crazy. Like we are staring at a dangerous situation where people are afraid to take off these masks. And that shows you how strongly they've been propagandized.
Let's go outside. What's your thought on that?
I'm not sure why.
Good news for you.
Yes,
you don't have to wear a mask anywhere outside.
Okay. There you go.
All right. How do you feel?
The same.
I'm wearing masks outside. Science.
I guess I'm just used to it. It's weird not to.
And, no, it's not an endorsement of the Daily Wire or anything else. I was going to say that because people are ridiculous. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It's about what is caught on the film, and let's watch it.
Why are you wearing a mask outside?
It feels weird not to. I just like it. I got used to it. I don't mind wearing it. I guess I'm just...
It feels weird not to. I don't mind it, right? These are people that, one, if it feels weird not wearing it, that's what I told you in the beginning. Habits are formed pretty quickly, in fact. A year and a half of constant reminders and aggressive propaganda, and that's your ritual activity. These people will wear a mask for the rest of their lives, right? Or unless they're told it's dangerous, and then some of them even probably still. But the secondary person saying that... What'd she say again?
Just used to it, I guess.
I just have it on. I forgot it was on.
You forgot it was on?
The point is that these are people that are not being told the full information. Right? They don't know. If they knew, that might change their opinion. But your government and the media is aggressively keeping everything we've shown you away from these average people.
Are you vaccinated? Why are you wearing a mask outside? What's your thought process?
Jeez.
No comment.
I just feel like I have to wear it. I don't know why. I just want to wear it. Yeah, I guess like my friends wear them, so I'm like, if I'm...
Peer pressure. So my friends wear them, right? So does any of this sound like science, right? This is aggressive propaganda and coercive action.
I might as well just too.
I feel like I won't take off my mask until everybody does.
Until everybody does, because these are kids that are being trained in school to be followers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have
peer pressure. Role modeling, right?
I mean, it's just, there's a lot of anxieties with taking the mask off, for the first time. So it's
because
probably...
for the first time. Good God, I hope he's taking it off more than that. This is the guy that probably sleeps with it. A lot of anxieties, right? Here's the crazy part. Quote, you know, quote unquote, the science, the government framing it this way, is telling them to take it off, right? Which is not the science. The government is telling them that. The government's telling them. I mean, in fact, by the way, I should, that's the part that he says in the beginning, even though the science tells them. No, the science isn't telling them that. The government's telling them that. The media is telling them that based on what they're saying the science says, and they're wrong. Not necessarily, to make that clear, you should never have had to wear it to begin with. Them telling you you can take it off now is still wrong, because what they're arguing is that now you're safe because of something else. You were never in danger in regard, or whether the mask had any effect is the right way to put that. The mask never gave you a lack of danger or extra day. It gives you more danger. In fact, I'm stepping all over this right now. But the point is, these people are going to continue to do it because they're afraid. Even though the people that they trusted to start this tell them now they don't have to. That just speaks for itself.
It's been so long.
Yeah, it's like a social anxiety at this point. It's just, you know, mental well-being and stuff.
Mental well-being and stuff. Right, so he's arguing that wearing this makes him mentally well-being. I mean, that's actually literally the opposite, especially when we're talking about the psychological effect of wearing this all the time, but the actual effect on your body, which actually can literally lead to psychosis when talking about systemic inflammation and all sorts of things. Yes, we're talking about extreme event, but these are shown very clearly. Bacterial pneumonia leads, periodontal disease, that leads to systemic inflammation, which can lead to all sorts of things, including mental issues.
It's virtually impossible to get coronavirus outside while you're vaccinated.
Okay.
Does that change your thought process at all?
I mean, not really. I'm just going to keep wearing it. I personally still...
He doesn't even care, even though I disagree with what he said. Even if that was true, the guy says, nah, I'm just going to wear it anyway. That's incredible.
Wouldn't want to take the risk anyway, and I don't trust anyone else, so I'm just doing it for my
own even
health.
If the science said it was, like, basically impossible, it still doesn't matter?
Yeah.
So he doesn't trust anybody else. Right, so here he is, a guy who just he's been injected with this dangerous thing, and which is supposed to keep him safe. And he's saying, "Well, I'm going to wear this because I don't trust other people." But didn't you just get the injection? So why is there a concern? Right, because we all know the reality, which this thing doesn't stop transmission. You can still catch it. And in fact, I don't see any evidence that it does really much at all, except increased danger. Their argument is that it reduces mild to moderate symptoms 95%, which is based on 162 events, which I'll show you in a minute. Phase 3 Pfizer trials, again, 162 people, 165 total, 162 of which didn't get infected. This is the reality of their phase 3, which is supposed to be hundreds of or tens of thousands of people. 162 events. And they're telling you 95% against some of these symptoms, but you can still catch it. You can still die. You can still go to the hospital. All these things. The media is lying to you about that. We showed you in their documentation. But they're going to keep wearing it.
Extra precaution.
Because I want to protect others, and there's still risk no matter what.
Ah, you see, there you go. Now, because this is the kind of guy that's been convinced that there's the risk is always going to be there forever. And that they just didn't know they should be wearing masks up until this time. Right, he is now awakened that the mask should have always been there. Now we're all saying he's already on board for climate lockdowns and everything else. My opinion.
So the science says it is virtually impossible to get the coronavirus or vaccinated or spread it while you're outside.
Sure.
Does that change your thought at all?
I know that, but it also sets an example, a visual example. That's how I feel.
Okay, so the example for what? You just agreed that you don't need it outside. So he's continuing to virtue signal. You see, he thinks it makes him a good person. So he wears it to show people you should be doing this, even though you just admitted that you don't need to do that. This is how ridiculous it is. I feel like they literally broke these people's minds.
Because you almost feel like that, like almost a compulsion to do it because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. That's exactly the right thing to say. It's like a pacifier.
Very interesting.
A little kid has his pacifier.
Sure.
You want to take it away and he's surprised, don't take it away.
Oh, like virtue signaling.
Yeah.
Because what you're supposed to do. It's also a little bit of a protest.
This is what you're supposed to do. Get away from me. It's also a bit of a protest, he says.
The protest being like...
Well, I shouldn't be given the privilege to not wear a mask.
Not only have I been double vaccinated...
The privilege. Do you hear how these people are speaking? I shouldn't be given the privilege to not wear a mask? I don't even understand why. I mean, probably because you over here aren't, and that's why, right? Like, it's your fault. The privilege. These people believe the government have complete control over their lives.
I had COVID.
So you're triple.
I'm triple.
So why? So why do you think you're doing?
I think
it's virtually impossible to get coronavirus outside while you're vaccinated.
Oh, okay. I think it's because I have been so infuriated at people who didn't wear a mask when the whole year. So it's like a display of I still care.
There it is. Exactly. She said it. It is virtue signaling. It's a display of I care. That's the exact definition of virtue signaling based on literally nothing valid at all. She admitted, I've had it. I've got both of them. I just want to wear this to show people that you're a bad person. That's what that means.
Like my roommate this year was going to be from Singapore before everything changed. And I would just see videos on his Instagram of like going out clubbing and stuff just because it was safe over there. And it was kind of like, oh man, like if we had actually handled this well, able to like do stuff, but I'm just stuck.
Because it was safe over there, right? It was safe everywhere, by the way, in regard to this flu-like issue that we're talking about. But the point is that he is convinced of that because they weren't doing the things we were being done. So his perception of why it was safe is about what the government's doing to their people. So the government is ruining our lives, so we're in danger over here, right? Over there, where they're allowed to go to clubs and stuff, they're totally safe because the government's not. Well, it's actually kind of a fair point, but he believes that's COVID-19.
Inside.
If we handle it better, we could be doing X than everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take them off. Come on, take them off.
All right, come on. Oh my God.
You don't do this to come to peer.
Good God. Just crazy, guys. Finally, prescription politics. That's a really interesting point, not to get into deep, but just to make the point to cross over into the lockdown real quick. Or, you know, mass lockdown vaccine, same point. Big Pharma funded more than 2,400 state lawmaker campaigns in 2020. You can look into it for yourself. Look at this map. Look at this map of the United States. There's only a few main areas that are really not, I mean, folk, look, the darkest are $79,000 and up. $25,000 and up is, you know, it goes down from there, bottom line. So anywhere there's color, by the way, anywhere. There was funding from Big Pharma to a state lawmaker campaign. That's basically the entire country. Now, sure, some of them can be as small as $100 plus. This gray looks like nothing at all, or they didn't report it. Oh, look, yeah, so that's weird. So there is. It's gray. I don't know why. But the vast majority, look at California, by the way. Look at all these dark blues, right? That, and I'm assuming blue and red is, you know, left or right. Your entire country, your entire political system is being aggressively funded and influenced by the very pharma companies that are now using politics to force things in your arm. Do you think that's a coincidence? Using politics to force masks on your children. Using politics to force in lockdowns that were not valid. Do you think that didn't play a factor? Yes, we're talking about UK here, but it's the same argument. Now, this is an important one that I wanted to squeeze in before the vaccine discussion because this needs to be stated early in the show or earlier than usual. COVID modeling that pushed back June 21st, Freedom Day, so stupid, was based on out-of-date data. And we know this now. The Telegraph telling you, and we know it, by the way, because it's been basically admitted to, and we're keeping it going? Yes. Does that make sense to you? So we know it's outdated information, which means they're wrong, and we're going to keep the lockdown in place. So that means pretty clearly it's not based on anything other than their choice and their choice to use outdated data. Yes. Now, here is the Sun, just because I'm not going to pay for the Telegraph. This is the same article. Out-of-date COVID modeling, which delayed June 21st, Freedom Day. I think this is like we're talking to six-year-olds. Freedom Day! You mean the thing that we have without your permission? Right? But you got to give it back to us on a special day? It's just like, so stupid. And it's called Freedom Day. Like, it's just like they are trying to make fun of you. COVID models, which led to the delay of Freedom Day, were based on out-of-date information, according to reports, and it's claimed that Boris Johnson may have actually been aware of the data that had been flawed before telling the nation restrictions must continue on. Here's the most important part. Well, second, the last part. Experts predicting a worst case scenario, which is, of course, how they've led this entire thing. Do remember what the WHO document that I continually point out, always, it's an important point to make right here, just because of the exact thing they say. Experts predicting a worst case scenario, okay, well, says there is no reason, let's see, oh, it's worst. Here it is. Worst case thinking replaced by balanced risk assessment. That's what they're always, that's what they were saying in 2011. The repeated pandemic health scares caused by these were a part of a culture of fear. Worst case thinking replaced by balanced risk assessment. Worst case thinking is motivated by the belief that the dangers we face are so overwhelming and catastrophic that we must act immediately. The point is, that's not what we need. In both pandemics of fear, the exaggerated claims of a severe public health threat were stemmed primarily from disease advocacy by influenza experts. Shocking, right? And as well, decisions must be based on adaptive responses to emerging problems, not definitions. We need independence from interest groups. Well, it's literally the opposite. So we just go, nope, we're going to lean back into the same group that told us false things to begin with and make sure they give us their worst case scenario, which is literally what the WHO was saying we shouldn't be doing back before they fired those people and got the right people in place that would toe the line, right? Well, that's what happened. They say more than 200,000 may die by next June, while others estimate 50,000 more may lose their lives during the third wave. It's all guesses based on fake information. However, it's now claimed the data is based on old estimates. You mean like the original stuff they still use? We know that's the case. The Imperial College of London information that continues to pretend we're in the worst pandemic in a century, even though it's patently clear that it's not even close to that? Exactly. Outdated old estimates about the effectiveness of the jab, which assumed far fewer people were protected. And that's one part of it. It's more than that. Under the most pessimistic scenario, oh, wait a minute, Imperial College says there could be 203,000 fatalities in the next 12 months. Well, they're also the ones that said we could have millions of deaths, or it could be 3.6% death rate. It could be a lot of things that they based on complete assumptions and altered data that fit their agreement, their assumptions. We went through all of this. The mainstream even called this out. They had things in front of them. They ignored things that they altered to fit the narrative. That was proven. In fact, by the way, Neil Ferguson's been wrong about stuff like this multiple times, catastrophically, before COVID ever came around. And yet, here they are again. They also used them back when they were talking about the variants and saying, well, should they be dangerous? And the nerve tag team they put together said, nope, not dangerous. But Neil Ferguson said they were. And you know what they did? They listened to Neil Ferguson. And guess what? They weren't dangerous. Wrong after wrong after false after incorrect over and over and over. And here we are again. Neil Ferguson, Imperial College saying, we're all going to die. But guess what? It's based on false information, outdated information that was wrong to begin with. But as I said, the lockdown goes on anyway, because it's not about information, facts, or anything. They just come in and go, oh, don't worry. Freedom Day will not be delayed beyond July 19th. So a month and a couple of days. Oh, we have a month and, you know, wait, didn't you say 4 weeks? They did. And now it just added a couple of days. Well, it won't go on past July 19th for sure. I make this joke because guess what? On July 19th, how much you want to bet? It's going to be like, well, variant this and that and dangerous thing. Africa said it will go added a month. Freedom Day postponed. It's ridiculous. All based off information we now know as a matter of fact. Well, I shouldn't say that. Not. I say that because the data from the get-go has been proven to be wrong. So I don't know why we pretend their continual data saying it's dangerous would be right now. It's not. They're wrong. But even as the mainstream calls it out and says, guess what? They're using outdated data. They still keep you on lockdown. They still tell you that you absolutely have to do whatever they say or you lose everything. More so than you already have, by the way. You know, your job and your livelihood and your family and everything else. All of it. But this is a good post. Lockdowns were not common sense measures. They were hysterical reactions out of fear. Here are 15 of just some of the reasons why it's not common sense. Not including all the reasons, by the way. And I'm going to try to go through this quickly. But great points here. By the way, this is back from April 26, 2020. And it's accurate. It's just as accurate now. In fact, probably even more so. Comparison to flu. 2017-18 mortality rate to COVID-19 across the ages. Looks pretty damn close, doesn't it? They don't care. Evidence was poor that COVID-19 was doomsday to begin with. Low infection fatality rate. These are all studies you can read for yourself. RO around 2.3, age distribution similar to flu, hits those with significant comorbidities, safer for the young than flu. Yep, we know all this. They didn't care. Literature review prior to COVID-19 had little good to say about shutdowns, right? And we told you this too. It was not. There is no evidence to suggest lockdowns are positive. In fact, we now have a mountain of evidence that shows that it's killing and hurting people. They still don't care. Almost no awareness of the impact on civil rights. They did know that. They don't care. As if emergency declaration, suspension of rights, house arrest, mass unemployment, business shutdowns is just something democratic governments sometimes do. God, it's just It's so transparent. Yeah, those moments when you're going through this, we're just going like, how are we still talking about it? It's so obvious. I'm just beginning to wonder, is there anybody out there that believes their whole narrative? It's just this very, very, very small group of people they point to as this vocal majority. It's just, we all see this. Whoever doesn't see this must be, it's a very troubled person. Somebody who just can't actually think past their own thoughts. Just somebody who is completely lost in everything that they're saying. Going forward, there was no historical precedent for putting the entire healthy population in quarantine. Never before, right? Quarantining the healthy, right? Never happened before. There are broad classes of physical distancing. I mean, on and on and on, guys. Read it for yourself. Great points. I just want to make sure we get through this quickly today. Not quickly, but faster than usual. And I wanted to keep pointing this out. This has been talked about long before right now, but now we're seeing a lot of these articles. I've seen at least three or four of them recently. Avoiding a climate lockdown. So recognize that this is not some hypothetical. We are already talking about not only whether or not it should happen, but how we stop the thing that's inevitable. That's what these articles are framed as, right? Because obviously they worked great for the world. No, they didn't. In fact, Gareth Eich even points this out, even though I think this is a weighted point that's leaning into one of their other agendas. The argument is, look, basically, the climate change got worse during the lockdown, like that we actually, the emissions were worse, right? That they rated it and it actually went up. And he made the joke saying, I thought they were supposed to help us in this regard, right? And not that I'm even taking that at face value. The point is, there's just even when they say that, they swing back around and go, because they saved us during this time, look at how much it helped us. Well, no, the science just said that's not true. But they're still saying, well, we should use it for climate. We should lock down the world and save our climate. Well, no. That's not what's going to happen. In fact, it's going to ruin far more. They know that, I think. And I think the idea is keeping you in control. Transitioning to something else, they can keep going and then make other things happen. Or combine them, maybe. In any case, this is your reality. It's coming your way. And they've already ruled out the vaccine passports in the EU. The things that they're telling you were never going to happen. Don't forget. The EU document, Europa.eu, telling you that from 2018 forward, they were planning for 2021 to 2022, literally exactly right now, that commission proposal for a common vaccine card or passport. So I guess they just magically coincided exactly with COVID-19 with their four-year plan, right? Because here it is. You EU officials signed into law digital COVID passports, allowing the 27 nation bloc to open their borders for summer travel. COVID passport. They're never going to make you. Yep, here we are. Right now. Exactly. And I mean exactly in line with their plan that just happens to coincide with COVID-19, right? How many times do we have to say we told you this was coming? We told you it was going to happen. And it's already happening in the U.S. under the guise of business infrastructure right now. And it'll probably get pushed into actual passports at some point anyway. Right now, Gavin Newsom already has a passport, already has one. He has a digital app version of it happening in California. It's coming your way, guys. Which leads us over into the vaccine discussion, right? So they're telling you have to have this to do all these things. In the EU, you have to have it in general to be able to travel, to do all sorts of things. But here is what they don't want you to know. This is the openvaxxers.com website. This is through June 4th. Reported deaths post-COVID vaccine. So people get injected and then they die. You can argue some of them could be coincidence. Some of them could be lies. But how many? Like, what's the argument here? That we know as a matter of fact that this is just all a bunch of anti-vaxxers lying? Well, sure, that's what they keep insinuating. But don't you need proof for something like that? Yeah, and you know what they would have? You know, they would have proof if that one of their arguments were true, which is that the CDC is actively debunking all of these. But they're not, though, because we just told you, we just reported one of a person who had a son who died, and they've continued to try to, they reported it, and they've never heard back from VAERS. I've told you this is happening. I've told you of many people I've spoken to. That was reported by the defender. They spoke to this person personally. They said, we've never even heard back from VAERS, or the CDC, or the government, or anybody. So, are they debunking these? Right? And if that was the case, well, they would have enough information to say, well, here are all the lies. Well, they don't. The reality is that this is a very, very, very alarming picture you're looking at. From 1990 forward, From the moment this VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, was initiated by the CDC, or run by the CDC, they've seen a pretty consistent reporting system. Oh, no, you can see the numbers, 300, 200, 100, slowly increasing, but generally staying under 1,000. The last one, 605. Suddenly in 2020, we see it jump all the way to 5,997. Right? This is the reality. This is where we are right now. You're talking about do the math on this. This is the definition of an exponential increase. And it's continuing to go up. As we keep pointing out, this was a month ago. It was 20% of the entire total. I mean, look, at this point now, based on what we're looking at, I mean, it looks like we're probably getting closer to half. How is it possible that we can have a huge percentage of the VAERS system in 1 year and not pretend like that's alarming? And have doctors writing into the British Medical Journal and saying, guys, this is crazy. I'm having my entire staff go out. I'm having issues that I can't explain. Why are we not talking about this? And then they get deleted, get censored. If you can't see how this is being controlled, if this doesn't scare you, then I don't know what will. You can look at the information and see for yourself. Moderna, Pfizer, of course, we keep telling you, the vast majority. This is some scary stuff. 2,000 cases of heart attack, 1,500 anaphylactic shock, 15,000 severe allergy, 1,500 thrombocytopenia, 8,500 blood clots, 8,500. But yeah, but it's all reports. They must be lies, right? Because we've proven it all. No, you haven't. Not a single person is being proven to not have these things because you're not doing your due diligence. We've shown that 100 times over. Now, you can go through this for yourself. I recommend you do. And also, I thought I had it open. Make sure, as always, here it is, that you cross-reference this for yourself. I'll include this. Here's the page to look up this information from VAERS, and you will find that it's accurate, 100%. I've done it myself, because this is an independent website that's doing this for you, and it's great, because it's a great spot to keep, just instead of having to search for it every time, but it is accurate, and it's alarming, and nobody wants to talk about it. Now, here was that point I made earlier. Here's the Pfizer documentation about their concluding the phase 3 study, right? And as Corbett pointed out, as Forbes has pointed out, as I've pointed out, this is the phase 3, mind you, which is supposed to be the biggest one. Primary efficacy analysis demonstrates that the biotech Pfizer vaccine be 95% effective against COVID-19 beginning 28 days after the first dose. Now, what that means when you actually research what they're saying is 95% effective, which has been brought down more since then, against mild to moderate symptoms. That's it. Even Pfizer has said that. Now, what this says is 170 confirmed cases of COVID-19 were evaluated. That's it. Sure, they had tens of thousands of people, but only 170 confirmed cases were evaluated. That's it. Within 162 observed in the placebo group versus 8 in the vaccine. So even in the vaccine group, you had people that got it, 8 of them, out of only 162. That is a ridiculously bad percentage already. But the fact that 170 is the only grouping you're taking, that's supposed to extrapolate out to the entire population. Do you realize what that 8 vaccine group, and that's a huge portion of the population. But they just talk about it as if it's 95% effective. Oh, and don't forget that the reality is we're talking about not absolute risk reduction. We're talking about relative risk reduction. Absolute puts it down at like point something. This has been talked about more than once. I think I actually have it really quickly if I can grab it. Oh, here it is. Let's see if I still have it. Maybe not. I'll skip it if it doesn't look like I can find it. Well, I saved that on purpose because the idea, it might be a lower part. It's very important to understand the difference. But I'll leave it alone since I can't find the document. But it's important to understand that we're talking about absolute, which is not what they're using. Absolute risk reduction is the real risk to the average person. Relative risk reduction is not. And they lied to you. And any expert will point this out. Now, here is a very important document that I'm going to go through the majority of. This is brand new. Note right here on the side, this is from June 17th, 2021. Today. This is an important document that talks about myocarditis, inflammation of the heart after both Pfizer and Moderna injections, both the mRNAs. And you'll take careful note of all of the PhDs, medical doctors, all of the literally the right people from the Department of Cardiology, the, you know, Department of Cardiovascular Medicine, the Mayo Clinic. I mean, these are the people. And sure, there's plenty of other people. They're experts as well. But this is something that you shouldn't look at and be like, fake news. Could it be wrong? Sure. But these are experts who are telling you their expert opinion about what this can do. Now, what's interesting about this is it's not just about children. This is about apparently age 21 to 50 something. And they're telling you that there's a real serious risk of myocarditis for everyone, as it would seem in this discussion. Look at it for yourself. The BioNTech and Moderna, Pfizer and Moderna injections have gained widespread use. Skipping that because they always start off with whatever. Myocarditis. It says, the early studies, of course, coming from the vaccine company, say, no, we're all good. Myocarditis and inflammatory, and which, by the way, is a good point to make, that it's showing you that they do their own study, and guess what they find? The opposite of what the vaccine companies found. Weird, right? Myocarditis and inflammatory myocardial cellular infiltrate have been reported after vaccination, especially after the smallpox vaccine. This is in the past. Nevertheless, myocarditis occurring after the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines has not been reported in trials, which it should have been. And maybe that's because they did it only 160 people, or maybe it's because they didn't want you to see it. Maybe that's because the people that had the issues are the ones they let go after the first the first injection, which were a huge portion of people, and they just never brought them back. Here, where they describe 8 patients hospitalized with chest pain who were diagnosed with myocarditis by laboratory and cardiac magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, within 2 to 4 days of receiving either of the injections, mRNAs, Pfizer or Moderna. Patients provided written informed consent for this their process. So isn't it great? So they're willing to do informed consent, but not Pfizer or Moderna. The data that support the findings of the study are available from the corresponding author upon reasonable request. 2 of the patients, 3 and 4, had previously been infected with SARS without need for hospitalization. So they had already been infected. Right, so they had the natural, they got the injection, and they got myocarditis. So doesn't that seem to suggest an obvious correlation with the concept of what, you know, antibody-dependent enhancement, pathogen priming, the same concepts? All individuals were otherwise healthy males between ages of 21 and 56. Interesting, right? All but one patient developed symptoms after their second dose. Here's an interesting side point. Not just myocarditis, all of them. Everyone they studied in this trial, except one person, developed symptoms after their second dose, showing you it's not some rare thing and some possible. No, that's why they tried to sell you on the idea that symptoms were good and meant it worked, because everybody's getting sick. Systematic symptoms begin within 24 hours after the vaccine administration in 5 out of 8 patients. Okay, so 24 hours? This is why we're seeing people crash their cars, or the discussion of pilots possibly crashing planes, right? Why is this not being discussed? Clearly, we're seeing people pass out well after the 15 minutes, but they just don't care. The chest pain presenting between 48 and 96 hours later. The chest pain was most commonly described as constant, non-positional, and non-pleuritic. Only patient 7 reported pericarditis pain, consistent with acute myocarditis, mainly without pericarditis involvement. It goes on to say all patients tested were negative for SARS-CoV-2. So all this argument that it's probably COVID-19, nope, it's the injection. Then continuing forward, 5 patients demonstrated regional wall motion abnormalities with inferior and inferolateral walls involved, and the remaining 3 cases in generalized hypokinesis. Some patients were tachycardic. That's an interesting word. Let me look that up real quick. Doesn't want to look it up for me. There it is. That's weird. That's no definition. I'm one of those medical terms. But no patients required inotropes or mechanical circulatory support. But all 3 patients, 1, 2, and 5, underwent coronary imaging by computing tomography or catheter-based angiography to rule out coronary artery disease. That's important. Showing you that they tested to make sure it wasn't something else that the media would be like, well, we don't know for sure, right? Exactly what they should be doing in CDC and everywhere else, pretending they're testing these people. It says most patients also demonstrated findings consistent with myocardial edema. Let's see, what was the last point I wanted to read? The patients presented here demonstrated typical signs, symptoms, and diagnostic features of acute myocarditis. The temporal association between receiving an mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccine and the development of myocarditis is notable. They're going to keep trying to pretend this isn't there as children and apparently adults continue to die or get very sick but have a lifelong problem, right? They're arguing it could go away, yeah, or it could not. Let's not pretend. Let's not lean into it. Could not be a damaging thing as the science, right? Trials that tested both the mRNA vaccines showed that systemic reactogenicity more often occurred after dose two and generally within 48 hours. Now, remember, the study we just talked about showed you that the increased dose is the problem, and they increase the dose so that they can get more reactivity. But this is why we're seeing all these problems. On average, our patients presented with symptoms of acute myocarditis 3 days after the second injection, and in 5 out of 8 patients, fever appeared a day before, supporting the hypothesis that myocarditis could be an mRNA vaccine-related adverse reaction. The only patient who's experienced myocarditis after the first vaccination and a previous infection is SARS-CoV-2. That's weird. That seems like an ongoing sentence. Let's see. It says, potential mechanisms for myocarditis post-mRNA-based vaccination include a nonspecific innate inflammatory response or molecular mimicry mechanism. That's what we're talking about, guys. That's exactly what we're talking about. Between viral spike protein and an unknown cardiac protein. So it's causing your body to hurt itself. It's exactly what all the experts have been saying, right? We should consider the use of corticosteroids. Blah blah blah. I see the reason I'm jumping around. You can't usually highlight these PDFs, and I didn't highlight this at all. Or bottom line is, it's very clear they're finding that this is not just possible but likely. The evidence points in that direction, and all they can do is hide from it. This should bother you because of what they're continuing to do to the children right now. It says the CDC. Received reports of chest pain in 5,166 and myocarditis in 399 recipients of the BioNTech and Moderna vaccine, whereas more than 129 million individuals have been fully vaccinated. So their argument is that, again, it's very rare. In conclusion, providers should be vigilant after getting the injection, but all they can do is continue to pretend like it's not there. Now, if this is what we're seeing, remember that we know that this is only 1% according to the HHS and Harvard. They did the study of the VAERS system and said it's less than 1%. So let's go ahead and pretend it's a, not pretend, let's go and acknowledge the fact that these are much bigger problems than they want to pretend they are. And the science is continuing to find exactly that. But here is Ireland, or at least a member of parliament in Ireland, confirming the government will be looking at vaccinating children in Ireland this autumn. That's what's happening. It doesn't matter about the facts and the science and what's coming out. They're just going to keep going with the narrative. A chief of pediatric clinical care, quote, according to Defender, interviewed, quote, never taken care of a single patient with a vaccine-related complication until now. You see, this is what gets hidden away from the mainstream or from the government's narrative. The doctors reaching out and going, this is unprecedented. I've lost half my staff because they got vaccinated at the same time. One of my staff lost her child. Like, all of them writing in, and the CDC hides this information, deletes it, or ignores it. I've shown you all this. This isn't my opinion. Lucien Wiggins, 12, arrived at Tufts Children's Hospital by ambulance on June 7th with chest pains, dizziness, and high levels of a protein in his blood that indicated inflammation of his heart. The symptoms had begun a day earlier, the morning after his second vaccination with Pfizer BioNTech mRNA shot. Quote, I have practiced pediatric ICU for almost 15 years, the doctor says, and I have never taken care of a single patient with a vaccine-related complication until now. Quote, our standard for safety seems to be different for all the other vaccines we expose children to. We all see that, guys. To be sure, cases of myocarditis like Lucien's have been rare, and the reported side effects, though sometimes serious, generally resolve the pain with pain relievers and sometimes infusions of antibiotics, and a COVID infection itself is far more likely than a vaccine to cause myocarditis, including in younger people, so they say, right? This is what the defender is writing. Now, I think this statement is coming directly from mainstream arguments, in my opinion. I don't agree with that. I don't agree that it seems that the virus itself seems to cause this more. I'm not seeing that. Where are the cases of myocarditis we're seeing outside of this discussion around the vaccine? Maybe they're not being reported. Sure, that's possible. But the reality is this is a very serious problem. And I think it's much bigger than we're realizing, especially with the new science adding to what they're saying here, that is showing you that it is more than that, right? Then we're seeing 21 to 56-year-olds. But if this doctor has never seen it until now, how do we ignore something like that? Well, because the government says so. High priest of science, Witte, decrees, quote, children need COVID jabs to avoid more school closures. This is Witte in the UK. UK government's team of experts isn't announcing some new pivot. Right there, this is Chris Witte, who's pushing the idea that children continually need to be vaccinated. And speaking of Chris Witte, just on a side note, according to this is from the Daily Exposé, 34%, and we already talked about this topic in regard to the dementia patients, or England for that matter, who 60% of the England deaths, this was a couple months ago, were all disabled people. 60%? There's no reason they're more affected by COVID. That's crazy, and there's something alarming to that. And then you get the image of people in Germany being injected. If they have dementia, 8 of them later died. That was shown by the whistleblower, but nobody cared about that. Well, here we are, 34% of the NHS in the UK, their staff, are saying that they were in fact pressured to place do not resuscitate orders on disabled COVID patients. Why? Why not COVID patients? Disabled COVID patients, because there's clearly a eugenics thread to what this is. There's no logical reason for that. All they do is pretend this isn't happening. But that's Chris Witte for you. Let's inject those children, right? Just looks like an honest character, doesn't he? Well, Chris, as Chris Witte's forcing this in your child's arm, let's make sure we understand that the scientific research that's continuing to come out that they're ignoring while screaming trust the science are now telling you that very clearly human cells can write RNA sequences into your DNA. So yet another fake news is beginning to flesh out just like we told you it was in the beginning. Discovery shows human cells can write RNA sequences into DNA. This is from June 11, 2021. In a discovery that challenges long-held dogma in biology, researchers show that mammalian cells can convert RNA sequences, such as in your injection, back into DNA, a feat more common in viruses than eukaryotic cells, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But here's another study finding the same thing. Or excuse me, this is another article talking about it first. Mammalian cells can convert RNA segments back into DNA, new research reveals. A team of researchers from Thomas Jefferson University, Philadelphia, the University of Southern California, the Beckman Research Institute of the City of Hope, and the New York City School of Medicine, a bunch of fake news anti-science conspiracy theorists, has provided the first evidence that RNA sequences can be written back into DNA. Here's the actual science. This is pole zero, reverse transcribes RNA and promotes RNA template DNA prepare. Now, right here, the poles S or the poles zero down here is unique DNA polymerase helicase fusion protein, right? So this is in your body. It's a human, we find that human POL zero reverse transcribes RNA, right? So this is something that's already in your body. And they found that it reverse transcribes RNA, which means that if this is happening and they're pumping messenger RNA into your body, well, this has the potential. And by the way, I already showed you that nanoparticles have the potential too to integrate into your DNA. The risk of nanoparticles that the governmental research points out back before we were supposed to know this was happening show you very clearly there's a risk of it building up in your reproductive organs, of it continuing. I've gone over all this in multiple shows, in fact. I think I actually have it up here in the show somewhere. Oh, yeah, at the very end, I believe. No, that's for the end. Oh, right here. That's right, coming up next. See, I'm always ahead of myself and forget that I have it written up. But the point is that in this article, that's the study right there. Biomedical functionality of magnetic particles as nanosensors. How far away are we to implement? Like, right now, it's happening, right? They know that. When they wrote about this, it was happening, which is funny. The scientists know that. It's 2019. This was already being implemented right then. But you go through and it says the risk assessment of specifically magnetic nanoparticles. But then it goes into the discussion and talks about just nanoparticles by themselves. And it talks about all the dangers. Watch it for yourself. It's alarming. And the clear point is that it can integrate into your DNA. And also now we're finding out that RNA can do the same. Well, here's another study that says the same thing. mRNA, nanolipid particles, and PEG, polyethylene glycol. So all those three things together. Guess what they say in this study? This is from February 22nd, 2021. Guess what? A triad never used in clinical vaccines is going to be tested on humans on millions of people. Great. So not only are they admitting that we're being tested on, because millions are only being tested if it's in the world population, but that it's in February 22nd, and they're telling you after this is being given to people that it's a triad that's never been used before. But it's totally safe and effective because we know, right? It's sort of like giving you a combination of vaccines that have never been tested alongside each other and telling you it's totally safe because they've individually been tested. Which, by the way, MMR, plenty of vaccines they've done like this throughout the past. Well, this is from the University of Santiago in Spain, professor, clinical diagnostic processes, medical doctor, University of Spain, biologist, university, just showing you that these are people, credentials, doctors, experts, blah, blah, blah. Abstract, Moderna and Pfizer pseudo-vaccines, they call them for COVID-19, contain mRNA enveloped by lipid nanoparticles and polyethylene glycol, right? So that's the process. That's what James Lyons-Weiler told you about. They're using the polyethylene glycol with lipid nanoparticles, and this is the problem. None of those three components have been approved for vaccines or parental drugs. Excuse me? Right? Like, this is what we've been trying to tell you. Individually, these things have yet to actually be... That still has to happen. That's only being allowed because they're under emergency use authorization. If it were approved, they would all have to... Every one of these individual things would have to be vetted. But nope. These three components, as the scientific research is telling you, have been, it says none of them have been approved for vaccines. Research has shown that lipid nanoparticles easily enter the brain and can trigger immune reactions. Just like I was just telling you, especially after the second dose. More than 70% of American population is allergic to PEG. So these vaccines can cause allergic reactions, anaphylaxis. Guys, this is so easily documented. How is this still happening? There are well-founded suspicions that these vaccines can insert themselves into our DNA, causing mutations whose impact is unknown and that could even be transmitted to our offspring. We explain how the mRNA existing in the cell cytosol can enter the nucleus both during cell division, mitosis and meiosis, and at rest interphase. In addition, the possible routes of integration of DNA and RNA in our chromosomes through reverse transcriptase are discussed, especially in sperm, where a specific endogenous RT has been identified. Now, I'm going to go through this more in depth, but I just wanted to make sure this got seen today. This is a big deal. It's from February, months ago. Why? I didn't know it was there. Somebody had to show this to me. I think it was Orwell Huxley. It's just incredible to me that this could be there and they don't even talk about it. Is there another argument about this? No, there's not some countering science. So this would be the science, as they put it, but nobody cares about it. It's just quietly sitting over in the corner, screaming at you about these three things together are going to cause you all sorts of things that we're currently seeing denied by the media. But it's all fake news, though. They're telling you exactly what I've been telling you, exactly what this discussion shows you, that yes, they can find their way. Yes, they can cause problems in your body. Yes, they can get in your DNA. Yes, they can collect in your reproductive organs. It's all the same information. And the PEG thing is just an insult because we've known this from the beginning, as James Lyons-Weiler points out, and nobody cares. Now, here is a study I've already shown you more than once. I was thinking about playing that Dr. Pavlovsky clip again, but I'll leave it alone because I've played that many times. But it's such a relevant clip and it's so solid. Maybe I'll play it. I think this is, here's the first one. This is, most of you probably seen this, but for those that haven't, you all know how this goes. This is a really important clip, real quick, before we get back to this.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures. And
how crazy is that? I mean, and just think about how that was on February 19th, 2020. So this is an expert arguably being called to talk about these things regarding where we were going with the injections, right? These were already being given. Already being injected into people. And he's standing up there telling you this is dangerous. The nanoparticles, which are the key part of these new mRNA injections, are dangerous. That they're building in the brain, that they're causing problems. But everything he lists off is what we're seeing today. By the way, that's already happening before the COVID-19 injections. Now we add in specifically nanolipid particles to everything else we're using nanoparticle-wise and the polyethylene glycol. And a spike protein that causes all sorts of other problems. And we're jamming this into people's arms without approval. Do you think this is how crazy obvious all of this is? And there's your expert telling you that there's a problem here and we're ignoring it. Dr. Pilevsky has said a lot of other things important since then too. Powerful stuff. But going back to this, I've shown you this before. COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines and the risk of prion disease. We've shown you this crossover like crazy, but I want to read you a couple of quick points from somebody who pointed this out to me. I appreciate it. Gwen did a good job showing you some points on here. Now, I've already gone over this, but I want to reiterate these points in regard to the point that this person makes. A great point, too, that I glossed over. Now, the abstract we've read before in regard to the point being simply this telling you that it says that the folding of these things into their pathogenic prion conformations is known to cause ALS, front temporal lobe degeneration, Alzheimer's disease, we're just talking about it, and other neurological degenerative diseases. And this is specifically because of the things inside of these injections crossing with your body. Now, what it says is that this risk is there. And this was discussed in 2021. This was, where was it again? Right, I do this with this one all the time right here. December, 2020, right before 2021. So they've known this. They know the risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. They know the risk of prion disease. They know the risk of all these things because the scientific research has shown them that. This medical doctor showed them that, but they just ignore it. They don't care because it makes people hesitant. Here's what they point out. Thank you, Gwen, for showing me this. Oh, and I just read that part in general, just to start off. Showing you that the enclosed finding as well as an additional potential risk leads to the author to believe that regulatory approval of the RNA-based vaccines for SARS-CoV-2 is premature and the vaccine may cause much more harm than benefit. That's the doctor saying that. Now it says RNA-based vaccines offer special risks of inducing specific adverse events. One such potential adverse event is prion-based diseases caused by an activation of intrinsic proteins to form prions. It's all the same stuff we're talking about here, guys. Going forward. Results. This is analysis of the Pfizer vaccine against COVID-19 identified two potential risk factors for inducing prion disease in humans. Induce the TDP-43 and FUS to aggregate in their prion-based conformation, leading to the development of common neurodegenerative diseases. In the current analysis, a tool of 16 UG tandem repeats were identified and additional UG-rich sequences were identified. Two of the GG, whatever that symbol is, A sequence were found. The binding of spike protein to ACE2 has the potential to release the zinc molecule, an ion that causes DDP43 to assume its pathogenic prion transformation. I pointed this out last time, the interesting addition of zinc, which leads to that. So it's an interesting crossover with the discussion of zinc being used as a treatment. This concerns, or this concern originates due to potential for misuse of research data on the mechanisms by which certain RNA binding proteins, like DDP43, which is what that is, FUS, and others, can be activated to form disease-causing prions. Says, the current analysis indicates Pfizer's RNA-based COVID-19 vaccine contains many of these RNA sequences that have been shown to have high affinity for TDP43 or FUS and have the potential to induce chronic degenerative neurological diseases. So they're there. And this, and you can read through this study. The sources are all there. Then nobody wants to talk about this. Zinc binding to the RNA recognition motif of TDP43 is another mechanism leading to formation of amyloid-like aggregations. The viral spike protein coded by the vaccine RNA sequence binds ACE2, an enzyme containing zinc molecules. This interaction has the potential to increase intracellular zinc levels, leading to prion disease. The interaction is quite concerning given the belief that the virus causing COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, is a bioweapon. And it is possible that the viral spike protein may have been designed to cause prion disease. Not saying it is, or they can prove it, but it's interesting in the conversation that if that's the case, because people believe that, this might be a possible point in that direction. Another related concern is that the Pfizer vaccine uses a unique RNA nucleoside, 1-methyl-1-3, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the whole thing. RNA molecules containing this nucleoside will undoubtedly have altered binding. That's quite interesting. The use of this nucleoside in a vaccine can potentially enhance the binding affinity of RNA sequences capable of causing the TDP43 and FUS to assume toxic configurations. Well, so that's saying that a specific RNA molecule chosen by Pfizer, in fact, has the potential to enhance the binding problem that causes these problems. When you could, you know, so argument being that that was a choice. This spike protein is a potential receptor for another possibly novel infectious agent. If those who argue that COVID-19 is actually a bioweapon are correct, then a second potentially more dangerous virus may be released that binds spike protein found on the host cells of vaccine recipients. So that's an argument people have been making. That seems to prime the body for something, waiting for something else. This is valid research, guys, from experts. Take it or leave it for what you will. One individual may be killed by a virus while another may have no ill effects from the same virus. By placing the identical receptor, the spike protein, on cells of everyone in a population, the genetic diversity for at least one potential receptor disappears. Everyone in the population now becomes potentially susceptible to binding with the same infectious agent. Almost like it was planned, right? Think about the idea of the shedding of the spike protein that the creator of mRNA pointed out himself, that the science has shown actually is happening. Or the fact that it's clear it's going all through your body, like I showed you. So is this the possibility we're talking about here? Priming everybody with this so they're all in a safe, certain position for future platform use? Such a theory is not far-fetched, given that the 2001 anthrax attack in the U.S. originated at Fort Detrick, a U.S. Army bioweapon facility. Because the FBI's anthrax investigation was closed against the advice of the lead FBI agent in the case, there are likely conspirators still working in the U.S. government. Approving a vaccine utilizing novel RNA technology without extensive testing is extremely dangerous. The vaccine could be a bioweapon and even more dangerous than the original infection, right? You can see why they don't want to talk about this. Bottom line is, nonetheless, it's something that has been produced in a valid way from valid experts. But they don't like it. Now, on top of that, there's two links you can look at for yourself. I just want to point out that what you're seeing in the new direction now, and I showed you this the other day, is that the spike protein is also the main target of neutralizing antibodies. So it's very important for the vaccine and therapeutic design. What they're admitting to you without saying it is they know the spike protein is the problem. They know the spike protein is the key problem that is hurting people. So now they're literally making vaccines that are aiming at the spike protein, despite right now using vaccines that are using the spike protein. How does that even make sense? All of them are. Every current emergency authorized injection is about using the spike protein. And here they are making them that focus on the spike protein alone. That's dangerous. That's crazy. So they're going to give you a vaccine to stop your vaccine? Probably. That's where this new direction seems to be going. Well, here, I want to add this in because this is something I just saw right before the show, actually. Nathan Stoltman shared this. This is a clip from Jimmy Dore. I reached out to talk to him about this a million times. I'm sure he doesn't want to come on the show or talk about what I want to have to say, but he's willing to discuss it on his show. So I want to show you what this says. And of course, they discussed this, but then never posted it because they do their live streams and then they delete them and post only certain clips. Now, Jimmy Dore has said before on his show, but not posted it, and other people that I know, that he is allowed to talk about certain things, but not certain other certain things. And YouTube gives him that leeway. So this is somebody who is willing to not talk about certain important things because YouTube won't let him. Make sure you understand that. Now, it says from Jimmy Dore live stream on June 9th, describing what's happened to him since getting the Moderna vaccine, this sketch, which included information about ivermectin, was never released on YouTube as a standalone video, I assume, because Jimmy's worried about censorship. As down, it says it's almost the entire segment's down here. But the point is, first of all, talking about ivermectin, which is interesting because there's plenty of people, and in no way am I calling for censorship. That's the opposite. Plenty of people out there are not allowed to talk about those things. So you can see that leeway being given to certain channels if they acknowledge they won't talk about the stuff that matters, right? But here's what it says.
I'm still suffering from the effects.
Oh, actually, here, let me grab the clip instead so it's more louder for everybody. Oh, come on. I know I have it downloaded. There it is.
Still suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna, and I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away.
Gosh darn it, guys. This thing, I won't let it frustrate me again. I don't know why this is freezing on me. The whole thing is freezing on me. There's no explanation for this.
Suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna, and I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away. It's sore. I still have flu-like symptoms. So meaning body aches, joint pains, and tiredness that comes in waves. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel mostly normal. But then in about an hour or two, I start feeling, how you feel body aches. I start feeling it in my knees when I go up and down the stairs. My neck, always, when I wake up, my neck is always. And so now I'm working with, by the way, I went to my primary physician. She says, yeah, I'm treating five people who have exactly like you. One of them is a neurologist. One of them is a nurse. And they were afraid to talk about their symptoms because they didn't want to be stigmatized and ostracized because.
You know, what's frustrating is this is exactly what we've been saying the entire time, right? I'm glad to see that Jimmy, let me do this real quick. See if this works any different.
I'm still suffering from the effects of the COVID vaccine. I had the Moderna, and I had my second shot on April 17th. So now it's June, 9th today? So I have stiff neck. My stiff neck is not going away. It's sore. I still have flu-like symptoms. So meaning body aches, joint pains, and tiredness that comes in waves. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel mostly normal. But then in about an hour or two, I start feeling, how you feel body aches. I start feeling it in my knees when I go up and down the stairs. My neck, always, when I wake up, my neck is always. And so now I'm working with, by the way, I went to my primary physician. She says, yeah, I'm treating five people who have exactly like you. One of them is a neurologist. One of them is a nurse. And they were afraid to talk about their symptoms because they didn't want to be stigmatized and ostracized because that's the culture we're living in now. You can't step out. Now, if I criticize Dr. Fauci, they'll call me a Trumper. So that's the world we're living in. My cardiologist, when I went in, I told him I was feeling, I wanted to check my heart, make sure I didn't have inflammation in my heart, which I go in tomorrow for the follow-up, find out. And I told him about, you know, I'm being, that this is from the vaccine I've been having. And he just shook his head. He goes, man, I'm seeing lots of bad reactions to this vaccine, everybody. Like that. That's what my cardiologist said. I then have another doctor who's on the forefront of treating people like me who are having side effects from the vaccine. Now, what is this going on? 2 months after. Has not stopped. And he tells me there's thousands and thousands of people like me.
I mean, gosh darn it, guys. How this is being kept from everybody, right? I mean, Jimmy Dore is personally realizing that he was wrong about this, about the discussion of this, about getting it in the first place, right? I mean, that's what seems to be happening to me. But what's even more frustrating is why is this now not opening up this discussion? I don't care if having T-Lab or anybody else. Get somebody on there who's been on this discussion from the beginning, who can inform your audience about the real risks of what are happening here, and not just some kind of like foggy, we don't know what's going on because we, like, think about how crazy that is. Thousands of people from one doctor saying, yep, we're all there, just it's everywhere. Does that sound like a rare situation? 2 months after the fact, everybody I know is dealing with something like this. And some, you know, deal a little bit here and there, like, and maybe not crazy, but that also doesn't mean that everybody who got this is dealing with that. But it seems like the most of the people I talk to are, as it said in the prion disease discussion, that it's the way some people can deal with it and just have nothing. And some people have very serious problems. It's like anything else. Sounds like a virus in that regard, or like a virus mimicking nanoparticle, or however you want to talk about it. The reality is that he got the injection, that he suffered for it, and he's still suffering for it. And that's too bad. It makes me sad because we've been trying to wake people up about this for a really, really long time. It's quite incredible. Hope it continues to be discussed. Here's actually on BitChute. You can watch it for yourself. To wrap this up, I want to finish off before we get to 2:30 or so. We got many care workers would rather quit than be forced to take COVID vaccines, says union boss. Right, so here we are with the union. The GMB union is hitting back and saying that no, we're just gonna quit. If you make us take this and healthcare workers, we're just gonna quit. Which showing you continually that this is an aggressively coercive action that basically they're coercing the majority. Like, this is the craziest part of it. Their continual kind of like general argument is this fringe weirdo over here that we need to coerce. No, the majority is what needs to be convinced. And that's what's crazy. And they don't care though. Because they just said, who cares? We're going to make a mandatory anyway. This was yesterday, but as of either 16th or 17th, the vote has happened and they are making it mandatory. Mandatory for care home staff in England to be forced to take this or they have to quit their job. Israeli courts upholding schools barring COVID refusenik teachers, right? So as a teacher in Israel now, despite what we continue to see, you have to take this thing or you lose your job. Your entire career, your livelihood, it doesn't matter. Went to college your whole life to be a teacher. Who cares? Quit. You have to quit and do something else. Can't even be a teacher in Israel anymore, right? I'm going to skip past this because it's obnoxious and ridiculous, and I'll read it later. But this is a column from Chicago Tribune. Roll up your sleeves, vaccine refusenik. Stop endangering my life and yours. Eric Zorn. Make sure you remember this guy is a violent, a militant pro-vax pro. He calls himself militant in the article. Who's screaming at anybody because you won't blindly trust what you're being told. That's what this article is. I'm completely out of patience and no good reason people turning down their chance to get the thing that we just clearly laid out for you is not only dangerous, but completely untested in the way that it should be done. If they're still testing it as of right now, as these documents will show you. And here's Milhouse Van Horten telling you, well, first of all, women of childbearing age should be banned from drinking alcohol, says the WHO. That's not a joke, guys. The WHO is just saying, well, you know, because alcohol is bad or because we don't like what's happening to children or whatever our reasoning is, we should ban women simply in the age, childbearing age, from being able to drink alcohol. What about women who don't want to ever have children? Right? Think about how incredibly insulting this whole thing is. Well, as he points out, if you find this offensive, for its paternalism and complete disregard of individual agency, hopefully you'll better understand the opposition to the coercive tactics used in the COVID response. Think about how dumb it is. If that offends you and you support the idea of coercing vaccines on people, well, you're a little bit confused, aren't you? It's a subjective personal opinion, not actual valid points. They're forcing people to do what they want. And this is the direction we're going, guys. How about when they sell you, well, you know, just if you're between the ages of whatever, 16 and 30, whatever it is, you just can't have alcohol anymore. Even though I think alcohol is one of the most damaging things you can put in your body, based on the actual evidence, by the way, it's the truth. You should still have the choice. You want to swallow rocks for all I care. I don't care. It's your body. As long as you don't put me at risk or somebody else around you, you do it in the safety of your home or whatever, you do your thing. Here's the WHO saying you no longer have a choice. You know, all the ones supporting the COVID actions, thank you for that. It's on you. Here is Jane Hansen, a journalist for Australia. I think it's, BBC? Let me see. She's Australian journalist, apparently, co-author of Boned, a season show that you should probably never watch again. Here's what she says. This person says, I'm heartbroken this morning. My mom just told me she went ahead and got the shot 3 weeks ago. Thought I had shown her enough evidence, but the doctor knows best, apparently. I officially give up. She says, good, give up. She will now live. This made me physically angry. As I said, you are a disgusting human being, and human being is generous. Even if you feel she's wrong, you elitists have just decided that it's acceptable to have zero compassion for a struggling person because you disagree with her personal choices. And you wonder why people are upset with you. You wonder why a BBC journalist gets chased into a room because you guys are pathetic sycophants that are telling people that you hate them now because they have an opinion you don't like. Even if they're wrong, by the way. You are a disgusting human being, Jane Hansen, and I hope you sow what you reap what you sow. Finally, this is a point that I hope we can... I hope you can read this again and understand what this article's about. The true history of deceit within the rise of Western medicine. Now, I've talked about this before. Quickly to sum this up, this is about the time when the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, you can see them here, decided to co-opt the medical industry and drive it into a petrochemical direction, which is where we are today, which is completely based on what they were profiting from. Not a secret. Not at all what was best for you. Of course, they then went around and actively took out all the homeopaths and all the different natural medicines and drove everything, took control using the Flexner Report, which you can read about here, the American Medical Association, and driving what they want to happen on colleges that they created and set on the boards of, and then drove for the next 100 years the direction we are at now. You know what's happening today? The same thing. We are on part two of this exact action. They are now once again, harnessing the medical direction and driving it into the nanotechnology and technocratic direction, even though that's not what's best for you. It's the same thing they did then. And guess what? The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, they're involved again. What a secret, right? They're also doing it again, as well as plenty of other people in the same powerful positions. And it's not even a secret. This is the important part of what this shows you. Not this video.
Doctor is brainwashed when he gets out of medical school because the medical school has too much subsidization of the professors who are being paid by the drug company. So the professor never teaches any student in medical school. Why don't you try vitamin C? They're going to tell him the latest drug.
Right. And that's by design, specifically. You know, there, about over a century ago, there's foundations, the Carnegie and the Rockefeller foundations, who sort of engineered the curriculum through their grants and donations.
Dr. Mercola there. And, you know, they're basically telling you that they're not going to tell them to try vitamin C. They're going to try the newest drug because that is what they're taught. And if you can watch this whole thing, and it will show you clearly what we're talking about. But the point is to walk away with the reality, guys, and read this for yourselves, but to walk away with the understanding that what happened back then is happening again today. And it is not in your best interest. It is in the interest of them and their agenda. And that is why it's important to understand a few things as we wrap up here. Again, from May 19th from the FDA document. As it says here, the following steps are highlighted to provide the necessary information for safety tracking. Right, on May 19, 2021. Right, because safety tracking is about you and about the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 injection, right? So they're tracking you, and this is the pharmacovigilance point. And as it says very clearly, it is important to provide detailed information regarding the patient and adverse event medication error for ongoing safety evaluation of this unapproved vaccine. Ongoing safety medical evaluation, right? That's happening today. not in trial or not in like in both in trials and real world, even though everybody who wants to believe it is saying it's done. The trials are done. It's completely approved. You're wrong. You're wrong. And it's obvious to see. And they're telling you that. Now, also remember that they tell you pretty clearly here. It's your choice. It's your choice to receive or not receive the Pfizer vaccine. Should you decide not to receive it, well, it will not change your standard medical care. But we've already seen that not be the case. Matt Hancock just came out, in the UK. Hancock just came out and basically suggested that people who do not get injected will have different care. And that's already been seen by doctors in the US saying that we're not going to treat people who don't get injected. That's not true, even though it is your choice. And the law says you don't have it, that they can't even coerce you, both international and United States. But here it says the EUA for Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccines is in effect for the duration of the COVID-19 EUA declaration, the one that they can keep kicking out every 90 days for as long as they want. So this will continue to be the case until they no longer say we're in an emergency, which is subjective to what they want to call it. It's basically an executive, this is executive power. And so now, as long as they keep the executive order emergency going, they can continue to claim emergency authorization for these things without having to verify their safety. Here is the key points on this. Basically, they use the National Emergencies Act. The president can declare a national emergency using this, but it doesn't really give them too much, any real more power, but it does give them the authority to give the HHS power to do what they've done, which is when they utilized using the National Emergencies Act, initiated within that the Public Health Service Act, Section 319. And this authorizes the HHS, as we've seen, to determine that a public health emergency exists, which then triggers their emergency powers. Now it's on the HHS. And it continues to go forward until they say this is over, which it will never be over. They can get, and this is the point, it suspends or modifies certain legal requirements. That is all it's about. And they will keep this here because right now they're doing things that aren't legal because they claim they can because emergency. We're not an emergency. And we all know that. If you're paying attention to the information, it's very, very clear. Now, on that note, this was sent to me right before I went live. This is exactly where this is going to lead. Think about the crossover for COVID-19 or for, you know, climate lockdowns. Here is this wildly corrupt, very bad person, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, officially declaring racism a public health emergency today. And starting to divert nearly $10 million in COVID-19 funding to address the issue. Can we please recognize the importance of what this first move is? This, in my opinion, is the clumsy actions of Lori Lightfoot trying to abuse what she already saw was the direction way before it's supposed to happen, right? She is muddling about four different agendas to drum this forward because she's a bad politician and a bad person, in my opinion. But I can promise you that this is going to not work right. This is going to get so much pushback because it's so clumsy. This was supposed to be a little more tactful, right? Now she's just going, well, I've COVID money, racism's dangerous, public emergency, COVID funds for racism because they're both public emergencies, right? Right, that's about the gist of it. There's no reason to think racism, you can use money for COVID that comes out of your pocket, right? That they take from you under the guise of an emergency and then say racism, public health emergency? Guys, this is crazy. But this was always the direction. This is going to continue. The public health emergency becomes ubiquitous. The idea that the new virus, the new thing, the new threat, the new danger of hate speech, whatever becomes climate change, it's going to keep you on lockdown, wearing your mask, doing it. This is your future. And Lori Lightfoot just let the cat out of the bag, even though we already knew that. I mean, just look at these people we're talking about, guys. There is a problem here. As I always point out, recognize that the general occurrence of sociopathy and psychopathy in the population, the percentage that it kind of generally is, that's being a psychopath or a sociopath, pretty perfectly aligns with the percentage of people in the population that are politicians. Now, that doesn't mean every one of them are sociopaths or psychopaths, but it's pretty interesting to see that correlation. Think about that for a second. Now, here is an article I wanted to read. Now, I'm clearly going to go past 2:30. Son of a gun. But I am going to finish because I'm almost done. This is from Lexicology. Can employers mandate COVID-19 vaccines? Likely not. Yet, of course, because given current FDA emergency use authorization status, right? Somebody honest telling you that right now, even though they're doing it, that shouldn't be happening. This is March 3rd for 2021. What is collectively known as the new normal still comes with a minefield of unanswered questions, particularly for employees, and the vaccine issue is no different. Contending with the polarization of vaccine skepticism and the country's desire to return to normal in the wake of a global pandemic, many are wondering, can employers require employees to get vaccinated? Guidance from the federal EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, may suggest that the answer is yes, but, because this is what they're pointing to, the current legal context for COVID-19 vaccines is different from the ordinary. And that was my point before. I said the same thing, is that they're using the body of like vaccine discussion all up until now as the justification for why it could be forced. This is something experimental, unapproved, and not even in the same ballpark as these past injections. So that's why they're deceiving you, because that's what they do. But it says the same as these time-tested, they claim, vaccines. But it says employers should therefore carefully consider their potential legal liability if they impose such a requirement prior to full approval of any such vaccines from the FDA. Requests for religious accommodation may be based on objections to the concept of vaccines generally, or specific to a particular vaccine, e.g. gene-based vaccines. Now, the EEOC guidance regarding COVID vaccines in December 2020, the EEOC issued guidance in which it implied that employers can mandate COVID-19 vaccines. However, unlike influenza and similar vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines are currently being made available, not through the FDA's informal approval process, but rather through a more streamlined emergency authorization process. In its guidance, the EEOC carefully sidestepped the issue of whether employers may mandate vaccines authorized under the emergency use authorization versus those approved under the normal process. Now, I was going to go over this as well, but I cut it out in the interest of time. The statutory provisions governing the FDA's emergency process, however, include language that raises concerns about the potential legality of employers mandating vaccines authorized under emergency use authorization. Specifically, the language appears to provide individuals with a federal statutory right to refuse administration of vaccines authorized under emergency use authorization. Pretty interesting. Now, how can that be the case, right? How can it be the case that they can state in there that if it's emergency use authorization, that you have the right to refuse it, and then claim that that means it's you legally have to? Doesn't make sense. Now here, which one? Did I just skip it? Under question 4K4. See, this is what's so frustrating. Look at how much is in here, like you're supposed to. So the point is here, it's saying under the ADA, the other federal employees, may an employer force this on people? Now, you know, just like I said, I'll let you read this for yourself. I'll include this so you can read it. The point is they give you an option in here under the discussion of emergency use authorization for why you can say no. That doesn't make any sense. Now, here is the emergency use authorization for vaccines explained. Now, as I've shown you before, an emergency use authorization is a mechanism to facilitate the availability and the use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines, during public health emergencies. Under the emergency use authorization, the FDA may allow the use of unapproved medical products when certain statutory criteria have been met. That's important, including that there are no adequate, approved, and available alternatives. So here's another interesting point. The moment they approve any one of these and don't simultaneously do all of them, and if they leave some of them usable under emergency use authorization, well, that becomes a crime. Because there's suddenly an approved alternative, which means you cannot allow emergency authorization for the others. Let's see how they manage that. Somebody out there remind me of that, because that just popped into my head. I'm sure that's going to play a factor. But the alternatives, because that's why we're talking about ignoring hydroxychloroquine or ignoring ivermectin, because these things, according to the doctors and the studies, I've not really dove into that on purpose because I don't care. You should have the right to use whatever you want. I've seen some pretty compelling stuff that says these things have good. I just don't support big pharma drugs. The only argument should be there's no reason they should keep them from you, whether vitamin C, ivermectin, remdesivir, or whatever else. You should have the right as a free human being. But these are alternatives that have shown to have pretty good efficacy by lots of other people, and that's why they keep shouting them down, because if they were used, you couldn't emergency authorize these things. Going forward, it says the clinical trials, and this is important, again, this is current. Clinical trials are evaluating investigational, otherwise known as experimental, COVID-19 vaccines in tens of thousands of study participants to generate the scientific data and other information needed by FDA to determine safety and effectiveness. These clinical trials are being conducted, not have been, are being conducted according to the rigorous standards set forth by the FDA. Just again, pointing out that they're currently ongoing, as even the FDA continues to tell you. Now it says, what safety and effectiveness data are required to submit for emergency authorization, for emergency authorization to be issued for a vaccine for which there is adequate manufacturing information, which we don't have. Remember that the insert's blank. And we've already talked about the fact that the actual stuff from Pfizer has not even been verified with the UK and other regulatory agencies. They have dates up till 2023 to do this. So as of right now, they're violating emergency use authorization because they don't have adequate manufacturing information. Or about the fact that we've already seen manufacturing information of these plants that have shown to be dangerous, safety hazards, like J&J. But they're finding that out after the authorization? Well, isn't that a crime? Yes. But it says to ensure quality and consistency, which we've already seen is a problem. FDA must determine that the known and potential benefits, which, by the way, there's no way we could know all of that. Well, first of all, let's just take the known. So the known benefits they're claiming are a reduction of mild to moderate symptoms 95% of the time. And they're claiming that outweighs the known and potential risks. And again, just sticking with known, because the potential risks are unknown because they're still looking at it. The known risks are a hell of a lot worse. Look at everything we've talked about. I don't care if it's a rare situation. You pile all of those rare situations and you've got like 30 different things happening to people all around. Look at what Jimmy Dore just told you. Months going on, people everywhere. The doctor's going, God, it's constant right now. The known risks are clearly more than the known benefits. And even especially for people under 30. But they don't care. The emergency use authorization request for COVID-19 vaccine can be submitted to the FDA based on a final analysis of a phase 3 clinical efficacy trial or an interim analysis of such a trial. So we get 162 events, and they think that's enough. Because emergency. Now it says, from a safety perspective, FDA expects the emergency authorization submission will include all safety data accumulated from phase 1-2 studies conducted with the vaccine, with an expectation that phase 3 data will include a median follow-up of at least 2 months. Did that happen? Who knows? Part of FDA's evaluation of an emergency authorization request for a COVID-19 vaccine includes evaluation of the chemistry, manufacturing, and controls information for the vaccine. Most of this stuff is arguably not happening. Sufficient data should be submitted to ensure the quality and consistency of the vaccine product, which hasn't happened, which we've already shown you. Now, the next part, as I've shown you before, is just this paragraph, or I guess these three parts. What is an unapproved drug, right? So we just showed you what emergency authorized is, which pretty much is just that we're an emergency, so we don't know what's going on, but we're willing to risk it, even though they don't know. But here's what an unapproved drug is. Let's be clear. What you're injecting right now is an unapproved drug. That's very, very clear right here. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. So an unapproved drug, that's what this is. What does that mean? Unapproved prescription drugs pose significant risks to patients because they have not been reviewed by the FDA for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Without FDA review, there is no way to know if these drugs are safe and effective for their intended use. So despite that, they keep screaming they're safe and effective, they're safe and effective, they're safe and effective. But the FDA has not yet proven this because it has not been approved. Pretty simple, right? So why are they lying to you? It says whether they are manufactured in a way that ensures consistent drug quality or whether their label is complete and accurate. They don't know any of this stuff. That's why the insert is blank. Unapproved drugs have resulted in patient harm, and the agency works to protect patients from the risks posed by these drugs, except when they give them to you. FDA permits some unapproved prescription drugs to be marketed if, and here's the point, healthcare professionals rely on the drug to treat serious medical conditions when there is no FDA-approved drug to treat the condition. Exactly. So the moment they shift where they are now, everything has to change unless they continue to break the law. And by the way, they're breaking the law now. But if hydroxychloroquine gets used or something gets approved, everything shifts because right now the only legal reason they're allowed to do this is because they don't have something else. But they do, though. And that's the lie. But you're injecting an unapproved drug that they're telling you, the FDA is telling you is potentially dangerous because they have not confirmed that it's safe. That's what it means. So here we are, as we're not even sure about what we've already been using, but here we are jumping full speed into more things to put into your body. U.S. is now betting more than $3 billion of your money on new COVID pills that we don't need. Right, so we're not in an emergency. The vast majority of this country is completely not at risk of something that has a 99.7% survival rate. If you take in the data they're giving you, if you actually pull the whole thing in, it's way higher than that, your survival rate. And yet we're going to make more pills for $3 billion to force down your throat because COVID bad guy. that's the new direction. As Whitney said before, your body is the new battlefield. The Biden administration is slated to invest more than $3 billion in antiviral medicines for COVID-19 to combat the outbreak of and this is what it's saying, to develop treatments for the coronavirus and combat the outbreak outside of injectable vaccines. Or how about through them? Right? Like, no, it's only you anti-vaxxers. The program is formally dubbed, the truth is, guys, that the anti-vaxxers are not the one getting sick. This is not what's happening. People out there that are saying, well, I'm afraid of this, or I don't trust it, or I love vaccines, but this one is dangerous. They're not the ones getting sick, guys. The people out here getting sick are the people that are being injected with this and having it happen afterward. Based on my research, the program is formally dubbed the Antiviral Program for Pandemics. Oh, see, so it's really just going forward. Right. Whose mission is to develop safe and effective treatments for COVID-19. And then, of course, since they set the program, they'll keep doing that going forward, right? Exactly, because this is about infrastructure. Antiviral drugs work to prohibit the further development of virus once inside your body. Right, so why didn't we do that first? Because we wanted to create, invest in experimental new technologies that we already wanted to use, so we plan it out, get it used, get the platforms built, then we circle back to the thing that probably made more sense to begin with. But it goes on to say, other viruses like influenza have specific antiviral treatments. And it says, in regards to COVID-19, antivirals would ideally prevent hospitals from overcrowding and further prevent deaths related to COVID-19. Well, isn't that what the injection's supposed to do? They know it doesn't work. Antivirals are not substitutes for vaccines. Make sure you say that, though, because here's the main point. Since they do not prevent infection, well, neither does the injection. It reduces mild to moderate symptoms. You have it, though, meaning it didn't prevent infection. So neither does the injection, smart guy. But it says, rather, they work to prevent serious complications from arising. So the reason they're saying this is because this isn't an excuse. It's not a substitute for the vaccine. So when we start using this, it's not going to be suddenly a justification to remove the emergency authorization. That's what they're saying right there. Both of them need to be worked at the same time. Well, as they're pushing all this stuff down your throat, and as your family doesn't have their jobs, as you can't feed them, as everyone's losing everything and people are destitute for the most part, and people, by and large, are poorer than they've ever been, the fifth exec joins Moderna's billionaire club as stock prices soar despite growing number of injury reports. So as they've never been more problematic, their money keeps increasing because you know who the money's coming from? The elitists. Not from all the vast majority of poor people out here. They're talking about the people who are right now increasing their exponential wealth as you suffer. The fifth executive in Moderna became a billionaire. That's the reality of your life right now. Now, to finish off, I'm going to end with a video. I really want to give a strong shout out. Oh, you know what? How did I do that? Oh, I see. There it is. Okay, good. Let me just do this real quick. I want to give a shout out to this person at the end here. There you go. So first, and on this is, you know, just a meme that I thought was very logical and shows you how absurd the focus is right now. This says the hunger virus kills about 8,000 children a day, and the vaccine for it exists. It's called food. But you won't hear about it in the media because hunger doesn't kill the rich. It's time to reevaluate our priorities. Really think about what that says. The idea is that if we're worried about children, should we be worried about something that doesn't hurt any of them and jam things in their arms that's shown to hurt them? Do they care about children when there's 8,000 of them dying a day, when all they need is food, when this country throws away enough food to feed the rest of the world? I've done a whole show on this. We throw away misshapen apples and things that just don't fit right on our shelves, and we pour bleach on them in the dumpsters because the bums shouldn't be able to get it. We throw away enough food every year to feed the rest of the world. But we're worried about the COVID-19 with a 99.7% survival rate, right? No. If they cared about people suffering, then this would be the primary focus. We just got to wake up and see what's really happening. Now, I want to leave off with a shout out to this person's channel, Trick S. Recently sent this clip to me. I'm going to play it on the way out. Just thought it was well done. It's just a little fast clip about, you know, see, I like how they show the studies on it and everything else, but check out the channel for yourself. I actually asked them to make me some promos and different things and see what they do, but thank you all for being here today. Went much longer. I'm trying to bring it down a little bit. 2:46 is better than 4 hours, but there's just so much to talk about. And every day, like, I could have been like, let's only talk about myocarditis and only talk about the one study. But there's so much of that stuff to leave out. The only reason I even feel like I'm going to do that is because people are missing this stuff. And then Tucker Carlson brings it up 2 months later and it's like breaking news and it's frustrating. And that's largely because it's buried in a 4-hour show. And I get that. But thank you for being here and continuing to support everything we're doing, because we wouldn't exist without you guys. This channel is 100% user funded. We would not exist without you choosing to support us because you believe in the work, not because you get some little trinket, but because you believe in what we're doing. And that scares them. And we know that. So keep fighting, keep pushing this out there. As always, question everything, come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.